We've got the Comic Conversations podcast and site that do a fantastic job talking about comic books.
And we did a show with the Comic Conversation guys, and highly recommend that podcast if you're into comics.
I really love Marvel.
Comic Conversations.
It's awesome.
With your host,
the wickedly talented
Fat Man,
Jeff St. Lay and Pray. Since we can apparently change our names to whatever, I want to be called The Darkness.
Luro.
Here's the ring. I'm a tag team champion. I'm playing like a kid.
That was funny.
And Marvel 2K.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is Fatman. You're listening to a brand new episode of Comic Conversations. And I am joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Marvel 2K and Luro. Luro, how are you doing tonight?
Doing great.
Hey, Marvel 2K.
I'm hyped.
You're eating a big humble pie after Conor McGregor won the interim featherweight championship after you mocked him and repeatedly said,
it was stopped early.
According to an unnamed source who is a complete troll.
That's what I heard. I haven't watched it yet. Okay. So. Yeah.
All right. Let's go into our first segment, news. Okay, who would have known Comic-Con San Diego would produce so much, or the week of that would produce so much news? Let's start with our first news story.
We're not even reporting on all of it, by the way.
Yeah, when we did this before the show, we ran through everything, and it's like we had so much to pick from. We're gonna go into detail with a couple of things, but a lot of stuff we're just gonna very quickly just go through. You know, just we're gonna say we're gonna mention so and so in passing. Like the first thing we're gonna mention in passing is we've had the Elektra for the Netflix Daredevil series has been cast so far.
Yes, Elodie Young.
Yeah. All right, that's passing.
Gaiman, Ennis, Connor, and Pilati joined is it a new publisher or is it just a?
It's new. They haven't done anything yet.
Okay, but they're joining Aftershock. Which is kind of a big deal. Can you consider all the, all those names? It's like, it's kind of a big deal. It's kind of sad because last week we did the all different Marvel thing and we were expecting maybe some of these names were going to be there, but the fact that they're all going to Aftershock is kind of a big deal.
But they are not signing exclusives. They're still allowed to work for other companies because, Ennis is a freelancer, hasn't signed a contract, not an exclusive contract. And Gaiman is still going to be doing Miracle Man.
Didn't you say Gaiman is only doing like a story or something for?
Yes, they didn't say what the other people were doing. They specifically said Gaiman was going to be doing some stories in a. They're going to do like an anthology book.
Okay,
but you know, I mean, obviously, I will read something he writes and Ennis buys for me.
Okay.
So that's good though. I mean, those are all Paul Miyagi, not really a.
Yeah, I know, but
he is. People know who he is, but he's, you know, Connor does, Harley Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
Still, I think. Gaiman's obviously a legend, so is Ennis. So it's very, very smart, very expensive. I don't know who's bankrolling that company. But.
It sounds like they're trying to compete with Image.
Yeah, we have no details on it. Like, is the creator owned? Or are they going to own the properties? Like, we don't know yet. But we'll find out.
I'm excited.
I am too.
Yeah.
I like when new guys come in, especially if they come. I mean, Valiant did really good with, you know, they have their core writers who were all good, who became names basically because of Valiant. This is a different tactic. This is a new publisher that's taking known talent to try to make something happen. And I hope it works out for them.
Yes, now I'm eagerly anticipating reading at least most of these writers' books. Another thing
I won't read Connor's book.
No,
unless she's doing art for the Ennis book.
But Ennis and Gaiman for sure is going to be some good stuff there.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, our next news story. Another thing I'm actually looking forward to, which Marvel is not, and he even questioned whether or not we should be talking about this in passing. The new crossover for G.I. Joe from IDW was announced this week. Okay, they previously done Transformers, and that seems like a good fit, but this one, even though I'm looking forward to it, I kinda question it. It's like they're doing of all things, Street Fighter crossing with G.I. Joe.
Which they already did. It was called Street Fighter the movie. that was Street Fighter's a G.I. Joe movie, and it was terrible. But, you know, maybe this'll be fun. Marvel's not gonna read it. Me and Fat Man are gonna read it, cause you know, we both like G.I. Joe, and I'm a, I don't know if Fat Man is, I'm a giant Street Fighter, Mark.
As am I.
I've never read their comics, mm-hmm. but I like the games.
Awesome. All right, our next news story, in Archie series is headed to the CW.
Yes.
I'm surprised on that.
After reading the new book, I understand why.
Yeah, it makes sense. There seems like a good connection between the two.
It's a teen drama.
I'm just worried. It's like, are they with the new Wade book out, and I realize there's going to be that temptation, and what they're probably going to wind up doing is going to be very similar to that, but just to bring in maybe older viewers, maybe they might try to make it a little bit like the original.
I don't think the CW targets older viewers.
Yeah, CW, they're very youth-oriented. Mm,
okay. They skew young and often female.
Okay. So. Our next news story straight out of San Diego Comic-Con. Apparently, there's going to be a new Blade series in all new, all different Marvel. And apparently, like I said, they're still going to be unveiling more titles for all new, different Marvel. When we ran down all the books last week, we just assumed that was going to be most, if not all, the books. But apparently, they're going to do more and more books. And the first of which that they announced is a Blade Runner series. Not Blade Runner series. I'm hoping Blade. They would do that. That'd be
Blade
awesome.
Blade Runner would be awesome.
Yeah, I know. Sadly, no.
Or they get Morrison back to write it.
That'd be awesome. No, it's a Blade series, but apparently they're making him a female, which at this point it's like
it's
hard.
It's gonna bomb. The male Blade revivals have not done well.
Mm-hmm.
The female one is not going to do well.
And at this point,
they showed images of other characters too. It looks like we might be getting Death's Head in some form.
Awesome. I have to believe because of Dazza.
I'm going to tell you what they're doing. They're doing exactly what DC did. They're releasing a shit ton of books. They're throwing everything at the wall.
See what
just
sticks.
See what sticks. Uh-huh. A lot of these new books, because we're approaching, 65 now?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Maybe more. A lot of these books ain't going to make it past a year. A lot of them aren't going to make it to a year.
Oh, apparently, they promised the return of Squirrel Girl.
Awesome.
They're doing a Spidey Year One type book. It's called Spidey. Before he was
Did they announce a creative team on that?
I'm looking at the thing right now. No, it doesn't seem like it.
I don't know how I feel about that. Depending on creative team.
It looks like we're getting another Black Widow, probably. Something with the Black Knight,
awesome.
Star Brand, Hercules. Some of this stuff maybe just teams and stuff.
It looks like we're
getting a throwback romance comic.
Or
that's
that,
what
the
cover thing looks like.
Yeah. There's something with Devil Dinosaur and Moon Girl. A new point one. I remember when they did a few years ago they did this when they relaunched Marvel Now. They did one like big 60-something page book previewing a lot of stuff.
They did that a couple of times when they did Marvel Now, then I'll do Marvel Now. Yeah, they've done that before in the past works. It's a point one book and they give you previews of little books. In fact, that's what sold me on Ms. Marvel, because when I heard they were making the new Ms. Marvel Muslim, I was like, it's going to be a heavy-handed book, and I don't know if I'm going to like it, but I read the point one, and I was like, wow, I like the way she's written this. It's like, even though, like I said, well, I've already said my piece on Ms. Marvel as far as just the character, but I'm glad I read that point one, because if I hadn't, I don't know if I would have been as enthused when Ms. Marvel 1 finally came out.
Iron Man relaunches in October, apparently. I'm going through all of them now. They're showing a lot of these.
Okay.
Let's see. Neil Gaiman. Oh, they showed a cover for the new game in Miracle Man.
Cool.
The new Miracle Man number one.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel Comics joining Disney's September superhero promotion. Not just the films, toys, and games. Okay.
Interesting.
With a one-shot to match Superhero Spectacular.
Hmm.
So, promoted worldwide by Disney Marketing as part of Superhero September. So I guess they're doing, it looks like, Disney's, gonna be, promoting them in September.
Cool.
Alias getting rebranded and relaunched.
Not necessarily comic book news, but that's cool.
Oh, that is comic book news. What are you talking about?
But I'm saying, is it gonna be a comic?
Yeah, the Mac series. Oh, David Mac.
Wait, what?
I said Alias.
Sorry, I was looking at something.
Alias is getting rebranded and relaunched.
Who's doing it?
Well, it has covers by David Mack. So I don't know.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything. He's a cover artist. I'll wait for creative team. I didn't hate Alias. I hate everything that Jessica Jones has been in since.
They show the cover. It's a Mack series. It has the name, but.
Alright, we got other news. It's enough about that.
Yeah, okay. I know.
Okay, Rom and the Space Knights apparently are going to IDW with their own title.
I just remembered and completely forgot about a fairly large news story.
What was it?
Yes, Rom and Micronauts going to IDW. This is notable because it was clickbait on CBR or Newsarama, whatever. It's like, Rom and Micronauts coming back, but it's not where you'd expect. And me and Fat Man both looked at this and said, oh, they're going to IDW, and then clicked it to reveal they're going to IDW.
Yeah, because that's what IDW does. They all do licensed stuff.
Yeah. They do licensed stuff. They were at Marvel a long time ago, but Marvel no longer owns the license, and they have freaking Disney. They don't need to buy Rom and Micronauts.
Mm.
So that made sense.
Another instance
it was Newsarama, by the way, with the clickbait.
Yeah, okay. Jerks. I like Newsarama, but come on.
Well, Hickman killed him off in the Marvel Universe, and
this was earlier in the week, but this is actually kind of a big story. Vertigo announced 12 new titles.
Do we have any of those 12 titles? That's the reason why I left it off.
We have all of them, and we have creative teams.
Okay, let's see which one of these are newsworthy.
Okay, I'm only going to read the ones that have... I'm going to read all the titles, but I'm going to give you the creators who are known. The Twilight Children, Darwin Cook. And there are brief descriptions. Supernatural Horror Story, it's a miniseries. Survivors Club, I don't recognize the names on that. Playing on the tropes of 80 horror movies, series takes 6 survivors of different terrifying experiences, a killer doll, a slasher, a haunted house, a Japanese horror tale, an encounter with creepy neighbors, and a trip through an arcade machine into hell, brings them together as a club of chosen ones. It's kind of a cute gimmick. Clean Room number 1, Gail Simone's doing it, so that's notable.
Mm-hmm.
This was originally announced in October of 2014. Art Ops number 1, Sean Simon and Michael Allred, so I will be reading this.
Nice.
Special Ops team that tracks and retrieves escapees from works of art, starting with the Mona Lisa. So the Mona Lisa has escaped from the Mona Lisa.
That sounds awesome.
This is the team that has to track them down. That's a great gimmick. Unfollow number 1, Rob Williams, I've heard of. They've announced absolutely nothing about this.
Okay.
But they are assuming from the cover it has something to do with a social media serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
Slash and Burn number 1, Cy Spencer is writing. Former pyromaniac turned firefighter who investigates a series of fires that remind her of her own past crimes. Red Thorn number 1. It has something to do with the history of Glasgow.
History of what?
Glasgow, the city. Oh,
okay.
Jacked number 1. This was previously announced as Amped and is already a planned USA Network TV series. A neurotic family man who gains super strength when he takes a smart pill he bought online. Finds that the high of being a hero are tempered by serious lows. That's a cute idea for a story. Tom King is doing The Sheriff of Baghdad. Murder mystery crime procedural about a former Florida police officer who joins the army after 9/11 and now trains Iraqi police officers in Baghdad. That's different for comics. Peter Milligan is doing New Romancer. Lexi, a coder for a dating app, inadvertently brings her dream man to life, and he just happens to be Lord Byron. A high concept that sounds like a cross between Weird Science and Her. A lot of these are limited series, by the way. They're like 12 issues.
Okay.
A shocker to me, Lucifer number 1. They're redoing Lucifer. God is dead, and Lucifer stands accused of his murder by the Archangel Gabriel. A classic find the real killer and clear your name story, except God is dead. The reason they're reviving Lucifer is because of the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
The problem I have with this is Lucifer had a very final ending. I'm interested to see if it continues it.
It may not. It may just be lighthearted stuff, we'll or not lighthearted stuff, obviously, from the premise.
And the last one is Last Gang in Town. A punk gangster in 1970s London leads a heist to steal the crown. Okay, the reason, aside from the fact it's 12 more goddamn books, Vertigo has been kind of a... It's kind of laid low. Mm-hmm. Like, Vertigo for years has been supported by Abels.
Mm-hmm.
And not a whole lot else. And I don't mean to shit on Vertigo DC fans. Please don't hate on me for that. But it's very much true. They're not doing a lot with it. I mean, one of the premier books in Vertigo right now is Astro City, which is a fucking superhero book. This stuff all sounds much more in line with what Vertigo used to be. Different kind of stories, sometimes more down to earth or supernatural, a bit darker. It's fine. I'll be trying a lot of these books. I don't know if we'll be reviewing them all on the show. They might get lightning rounded, but it's a gigantic push for Vertigo.
Yeah, a lot of these I'm just like, I don't know if we're even going to read, but some of them sound interesting.
The Mike Allred one sounds fucking great.
Yeah, that's why when I first saw that list, I'm like, okay, he said this is news, but let me look down this list. And like I said, some of it you can tell just I'm an inexperienced reader of comic books, so some of this stuff really did fly over my head. But then a lot of this other stuff, I'm just like, well, I don't know how much I care about this stuff, period, so.
Yeah, I mean, some of those I'm very interested in.
No. By the way, Fables ended.
Yeah, but it had been carried to go.
I know.
And there are still Fables offshoots, too.
Okay.
That has continued to be published. It's Fables hasn't gone away. They tried to milk that for all it was worth.
Well, good for them. They managed to milk it longer than...
Oh, and Astro City is continuing in Vertigo, by the way.
So that's a surprise to nobody.
Well, you know, it's just, they announced all these new books, and it was... Astro City fits even less in Vertigo now, but whatever.
All right, our next news story, Batman the Killing Joke is getting an animated adaptation. I'm curious, as you guys are, how much they're going to retain and how much they're going to change. Because that's what they've been doing as of late.
It's coming out next year, by the way.
They could do it direct, because my favorite DC animated projects were, I really, really liked Year One,
mm-hmm.
which was...
For almost verbatim.
It was the comic.
Yeah.
And... Dark Knight was good. It was the comic.
Yes, but it was literally almost from panel to panel verbatim the exact comic, which
yeah,
is good.
So, I mean, I don't think they're going to have to change it a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the other ones, like the Red Hood one, they
made that better. They took liberties and made it better.
They didn't tone it down a lot, was my point. So they're not worried about doing like the more adult stuff. So I think this might be exact, especially. People really fucking think highly of the Killing Joke.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they change it that much. Especially since there's nothing in it that needs to be changed.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's not like, you know, they did the Watchmen movie and they're like, okay, or this movie is overall fairly realistic. Are we going to have a fucking fake alien in it?
No, but aside from that, it was pretty much verbatim the comic, so.
It was.
With these bigger projects, I don't think they can get away with changing stuff, but we've seen stuff in the last couple of years that they've taken a lot of liberties with stuff. But I think this is gonna be
Superman versus the Elite almost raped that story.
Yeah.
But and then again it had Superman and
yeah, and then recently I think but the Batman versus Robin, which also bastardized the Court of Owl storyline, so who's to say which way we're gonna get on this? But like you said, it is in fact a classic, and we've seen a track record from Warner Brothers Animated that when it comes to a big story, that they're going to keep it verbatim.
Yeah, they're also in general stomping the shit out of Marvel when it comes to animated.
Yeah. Although as of late, if you've seen the last three or four animated movies, they haven't been too hot.
Yeah, and I haven't watched them, so.
And a lot of that, then again, in their defense, a lot of that is because they're basing it almost verbatim off the new 52 stuff. So it's not really their fault, but at the same time, it's like, well, then that's going to make the movie suffer.
Well,
all right. In our final news story, another one that we thought and we should just mention in passing, but apparently Heavy Metal has got a new editor in Grant Morrison.
I know, and I shock people by saying, I don't give a shit.
Well, it's
Heavy Metal is an anthology comic series that I was unaware still existed.
Mm.
Now,
at least he's a name. for
yeah, him. Okay, here's, and also he's not writing, he's editing, but the theory is, Grant Morrison is a good writer, and therefore he can recognize good talent.
Mm-hmm.
So he will bring in good people, hopefully people who aren't known or are lesser known, and give them a shot. It gives the book a little more a lot more visibility than it had, because like I said, I didn't know it was still being published. A smart move on their part. Since also, he seems to be moving entirely away from mainstream comics and not some new digital thing he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of finished up DC with Multiversity. Multiversity was the story he wanted to tell, and he told it. So he's not on any of their new books, and Marvel didn't get him. So apparently he just doesn't have much of an interest in working for the big two anymore.
Yeah, he's a big enough name to where he probably command enough business to where he doesn't need the big two.
Yeah, well, I don't imagine Grant Morrison needs money anymore.
Yeah, well, to me this reads, apparently Heavy Metal's gonna get weird and Fat Man's not gonna get a lot of it.
Heavy Metal was always weird.
Okay.
Like what I've seen of it, which to be fair was fucking ages ago. But I mean, it's always been weird. So.
Alright, with
that might not change.
Alright, with that all the way, we're done with news, but we're not gonna go straight into lightning round right away. We have, in fact, something big to announce. Apparently a mutual friend of all of ours, the three of us, apparently came with us. He wanted to, help us out with a contest, right? Because he gave us a book that he wanted to give away, but he specifically said he wants to give it away as part of a contest.
Yeah, he gave us two books.
The deluxe edition of Why the Last Man hardcovers volume 1 and 2.
Yeah, and those who listen to the show will know Luro is a big fan of the first 3/4 of Why the Last Man.
Mm-hmm.
So these fantastic books, if you haven't read them, the hardcover editions are very, very pretty. I've seen them. It's great paper.
Mm-hmm.
The hardcover is nice. Everything about this is good, and it's a terrific story. So we had to come up with what the contest would be to give this away.
This is for long-time listeners or new-time listeners, we've never done a contest before. So this is our first instance of actually doing something where not only are we doing a contest, but then we're also giving away a prize that's kind of a big deal. Should we mention who gave us this books or no? I don't know if we went over that when we were doing show prep.
Yes, we're going to have Mr. Chris Slomka.
Awesome.
Yes.
Longtime listener, good mm-hmm. friend of the show.
Yes, he's agreed to, he will not be giving us the book. What he'll be doing is, we'll run the contest and he will be mailing it to the winner. Now initially he said we were just going to do it within the U.S., but we decided, and if he's listening right now, if you don't get this message before, we are willing, I think specifically Lurals is willing to pick up the tab if we're doing international.
I don't want to cut international people out of the contest.
Yeah, exactly. And considering how many of our
comics
listeners
isn't overly expensive.
Yeah, and how many of our listeners actually live overseas? In fact, Dazza lives overseas, so it's like, when we have somebody that works with us already overseas, it's like, it kind of feels bad that we're leaving them out of it. So, but the contest which we're doing over the time span of 2 weeks, it is July 11th tonight that we record this, and it will go through for the next 2 weeks, and it will end, are we going to say Saturday next, July 25th at what, midnight?
I thought it was July 21st.
July 21st, isn't that what I said?
25th?
Yes, yeah, okay. July 25th July is when 25th. The contest is. Yes, that is, okay, I'll do this. July 26th is the cutoff date. For any email.
Yeah, and
okay.
This is slightly confusing for people. We record on a Saturday and we used to post on a Saturday,
mm-hmm.
but, Mr. Koff puts our show up on a Wednesday because it's comic release day.
Mm-hmm.
So it has moved, and that is why we were going to do 1 week, but we went to 2 weeks. Because otherwise people would only have like 3-4 days to send it to us.
Exactly.
And that wasn't fair.
And in fact, if we decide to push back even further because of that, we'll mention it. But so far the plan is just July 25th is the cutoff date.
I've got the all clear on CBR to post on.
I know that was a big deal because we tried to post the show there before. And you know, they're very, you know, their mods don't mess around.
The cutoff, we record this on midnight on Central Time.
Mm-hmm.
So midnight Central Time on the 25th is a cutoff date because that's when we do the show.
And we want comic book haiku.
Yes. In the 575, I don't know what you would call the setup or the format.
So the standard haiku format.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we just said the topic is going to be comics. So you could do a haiku about a comic company, about a comic creator, about a comic editor, about a comic as series.
Anything
to do with comics.
Yeah, anything comic related. And if it's something obscure that we might not know about, be sure to mention it in your email, either in the subject line or just, you know, in the actual message in the haiku. Just be sure to mention what it is, because, like I said, if it's a really good haiku and we have no idea what you're talking about, then we may just leave it out of the contest.
Are we gonna let them do manga stuff?
See, I'm gonna leave that up to you.
That's a comic.
Okay, that's fine. Just make sure.
Don't cut anyone out. Although I don't know why manga fans would be listening to our show.
I'm sure there's some crossover.
Yeah.
So we want haikus, anything to do with comics.
Mm-hmm.
We will read these on the air.
Mm-hmm. We're not going to do them next week. We're going to do them the week that the contest ends, correct?
Yes. Okay. We'll hopefully have a light news week, and we will, right after news, we will read the haikus. You are sending these to comicconversations1@gmail.com. Which Fat Man will post on halfguarded.com.
Yes, for whatever reason why, if just been listening to this, let's say you're nowhere near a computer and you forget the email, I will be posting it in the show description on iTunes as well as on the site on halfguarded.com. So just so you know, just email me, comicconversations1@gmail. If you, for whatever reason why you can't do that, you can go to our old site, which I'm also going to post plug right now, which has our, if you want to listen to all the back catalog episodes of Comic Conversations, which we've seen on the board that people have wanted, you can listen to episodes 1 through 99 of our old episodes on there, dating back as far as May 2013. Can you believe we've been doing the show that long?
And no, I can't. And please, when you submit, include a name. I don't care if it's your screen name.
Yes.
A fake name. Name, whatever, just include a name so we can say whose haiku we are reading.
Yeah, be sure to mention that as well if you want us to use your real name or a screen name or whatnot. And the reason, like I said, the reason why I brought up the site because we also have a contact tab there as well. So between that and the email link that we're mentioning right now, then when it's going to be in the show description, you really can't say we didn't give you plenty of chances to enter. I think with that, while not news and not part of our contest, I just thought I'd put it over just for shits and giggles. For those of you who are subscribed or have not, go to the F4W online site and be sure to listen to the Summer of Carl with our good friend Carl Stern, who's talking the best wrestlers of all time. That's what it comes off to me. He's doing his Summer of Carl where he does a show every single day the month of July. So if you haven't already, be sure to check those out. And if you haven't already, go ahead.
Yeah, he's doing biographies on different eras of wrestling.
Yes,
and I learned about El Santo.
That was awesome because so far he was doing like Frank Gotch and whatnot. And you think pioneers of wrestling? Okay, that's cool. That's the kind of stuff I expected. But when he busted out El Santo, I was floored for one. So
yeah, I listened to the ones I don't know anything about. So the really old guys I've listened to. And El Santo I've listened to because I obviously know nothing about Lucha.
And if you listen to that show and you really like it, by all means, go to DragonKingCarl.com and buy one of his Stern sticks. I know Marvel's already bought one of his, and as we speak right now, I'm sending for mine as well. So if you want, like I said, have some good quality listening. If what we do for comic books, you could say Carl does for old school pro wrestling. It's a very good podcast. I recommend it. All right, with that all the way, let's go on to our next segment, Lightning Round. You know, it wouldn't be the Lightning Round unless we had some comic books that we initially shot for certain comic books, but as the lightning round is, we decided we were going to take some stuff off, and stuff that we were going to do normal reviews, we decided to bump some stuff up. Now, initially I said I was going to read Batman, and I read Batman this week, but after reading it, I was like, I don't have like strong feelings one way or another. I didn't like it, I didn't hate it, so I'm like, I'm not going to do a lightning round review. And I think, Lero said you were going to do Constantine, and Age of Apocalypse. And we're still doing Age of Apocalypse, but we're not doing Constantine, right?
I'm doing three other books, too.
Yes, yeah, so, you know what I'm saying? Are we doing Constantine? That's the question.
No, I didn't read it.
That's okay. Thank you. That's why.
Too many books.
All right, and with that said, we're going to bump up three other books as well. The lightning rounds: Runaways, Secret Wars 2099, and Spider Verse. Do you want to open up with Age of Apocalypse, Lur?
They were all good.
Is that all you're going to do for your lightning round reviews of all three books?
Yep, they're all good. Age of Apocalypse is the weakest of the three.
Yeah.
If you like Age of Apocalypse, I can imagine you liking this book though.
It was done. If you liked Age of Apocalypse, you'd like this in the sense that it literally was almost like the same book in the sense it was a, like, I always thought the original Age of Apocalypse was kind of a simple story and had kind of like that extreme 90s art. And I feel like this book
kind of replicated.
Yeah. And it kind of replicated
it was trying
that.
To look like that comic, which I thought was neat. Spider-Verse, I freaking loved. I cannot wait to read that book after reading this. We got to see them working together as a team and fight villains, and it's all different, cool, and I loved it, and I love all the characters in it, except the chick. Not Gwen, the other one. I can't even remember her name.
Yeah, neither can I, and I read the book as well.
Yeah, Anya, I don't like her as much, but all the other characters I love, thought it was great. They're all different. It's fun. Good book. Like it a lot. What was the other book?
Runaways.
Oh, Runaways is good too. Runaways, they ender gamed the kids and they found out they were killing real people in their virtual simulation, but then they escaped. It was fun. I want to see where they're going. It makes sense that it's called Runaways now because they are in fact running away.
Yeah, running away from school.
Yeah, good for them.
Secret Wars 2099.
That was also good. They just went forward with the story. Miguel is a vampire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We knew something was up with him. Apparently now he's a vampire.
I think when Spider-Man 2099 first came out, he was kind of spider-like. Didn't he have like fangs or some shit?
I don't remember that, but you may be right.
Yeah, it was Venom. He injected him with Venom. He was not even really a vampire. He's a spider guy and he bit him with Venom.
Okay.
Yeah.
He didn't suck any blood. Sorry.
He bit Hulk 2099. Yeah, this book was, Defenders versus, his Avengers for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Hercules is pretty good. Because he was trying to get on Valkyrie, but Valkyrie is dating,
Roman,
future Nermer.
Yeah.
So that was kind of funny. And they kept like, they're going to fight over her and she's all mad. She's like, so what do you win? Do you win me?
Don't I get a say in this?
And yeah, no, she had no say in it. But yeah, it was really good. And then they ended up having a drinking contest.
Awesome. Yeah. And our final lightning round title, Spider-Verse this week.
We already talked about it.
Yeah, we already talked about that.
Did we? I thought we talked, Secret Wars 2099. I'm sorry, I got confused.
I said it was really good.
Oh, sorry, I got confused.
Liked it a lot.
Okay. Yeah. All this spider talk threw me for a loop. Alright, well, with that all, wait, that concludes the lightning round. Let's go into this week's books.
Do you know why I picked that?
Because Mannequin the Movie is the best movie ever?
No. I like Mannequin the Movie, but that's not why. there's a running joke in the Luro family that Starship is the worst band ever and wrote the worst song ever.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Sing that again? You cut off a little bit.
Lauren, we built this city on rock and roll.
That song sucks. How dare you?
But me and Lauren were looking through the event of things happening at the Wild Rose Casino in Clinton,
mm-hmm.
which is where Global Force Wrestling is doing a an event, and I told you guys that place is kind of a crapple. Starship, among other bands who haven't been famous for years, are performing, and I'm almost considering going.
Nice.
I hate them, but I kind of want to go.
Like you do with WWE, you're going to hate listening to them?
Well, no, because I can't pick and choose Starship and pick out the good parts. Although I guess that song would be their best song.
Okay.
Because it was in Mannequin. It was also in Mannequin 2.
Oh, I didn't realize it was Mannequin 2. Wow.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's a horrible movie. But they kept the song. That was what tied it together.
Nice. No Return of Hollywood?
No, Hollywood was in the movie. That was the other connecting. It was a completely new cast, but Hollywood was in it.
Awesome. That's all you need.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess.
To make it Mannequin. All right. Let's go through this week's books, which include 1872 1, issue 1, Renew Your Vows 2, Civil War 1, Master of Kung Fu 3, Squadron Sinister 2, Lando 1, Bloodshot 4, Archie 1, Providence 2, Strange Fruit 1, Justice League of America 2, Descenders 5, Injection 3, Saga 30, Starve 2, Walking Dead 144, and Bloodstrike. Considering that we've lightened up this week's comic book list, I'm more optimistic now. Because I remember when I was talking to Marvel, I'm like, I was really kind of down this week's books. But now that we bumped a lot of stuff up to lightning rounds, this actually is a pretty damn good week.
I liked a lot. But can we please talk about Bloodstrike?
Yes. Yes, we can.
I didn't read it.
What? Marvel didn't read it. I had Batman read this because I said, this is going to be terrible.
And it was. And it delivered.
This was like the Room of comic books, though. It was so bad.
I don't know about that. When I was reading to Marvel, I'm like, this is bad. But this isn't like funny bad. This is just like, okay, I get what he's doing. Like, he's out of touch, or he's in the sense that he's writing a comic book straight out of the 90s. And I'm like...
Yes, but it's worse than that. Rob Liefeld thinks it's 1993, but he wanted to be more extreme. It's so bad. But we did have Floppy Wiener in
Floppy
this
Wiener,
book.
Floppy Wiener, Floppy Wiener.
Yeah, so it's like reading Game of Thrones. I'm not going to go over a plot of this. It was fucking stupid. But there were fangs and... people getting decapitated and real bad Rob Liefeld art. Like, that guy cannot do panel flow whatsoever. characters would appear on pages and there would be like stuff to the sides of them, but behind them there would just be a black void as if they were standing in front of a black hole with no explanation. Oh God, it was so bad. I loved it. And I'm probably gonna keep reading this book.
And he had like composite characters. Like it's clearly he wanted to tell a Deadpool story with Harley Quinn and Cable.
No, those were already characters.
Oh, they were?
These were old characters.
Okay, for someone new to me, that's what this read like. Like, okay, he wants
to use- The guy who looked like Deadpool created Deadpool.
Uh-huh.
That character looks like Deadpool. The guy who looked like Cable always looked like Cable. And they are supposed to be Deadpool and Cable. The guy who looks like Wolverine is supposed to be Wolverine. So bad. So bad. The villain was bad. The heroes were bad. The plot was bad. The art was bad. The writing was bad. My God, I wish it was still 1993. This would be a number one seller. This book would have sold a million copies.
And I have this panel right in front of me. Because apparently they cut off the main character's junk. And she put it in a jar, and I have the quote right in front of me right here. She says, and I quote, "The junk is yours, and they can't do dick," and this is all bold, "dick about it."
Yeah. See how clever that is? And, okay, that was the one humorous part in the book. So these superheroes who work for whatever, they can't die. They also apparently can have their lower bodies cut off and their arms cut off. And okay. Let me lay this out because this is amazing. Deadpool is hanging. They've hung him up and they were torturing him. So he's missing the lower half of his body and his like intestines are hanging down.
Mm-hmm.
But he has to get, he can't get teleported out or have someone teleport to him to help him because they can't get a read on him. He reasons if he could swing on the chains, it will change his location. They'll be able to sense him. So he bites his own arm off. They never really explain how this works because a human being cannot chew through bone, but he is a superhero. So he bites slice his own arm off. So now he has no lower body and he's missing his, like, shoulder down, he's missing, and he's just kind of swinging around. But as they're fixing him, he really wants his penis to be back. And when they put him in their, magical thing, it's not magical, it's techno magic, to rebuild his body, he gets rebuilt with no junk. And he's like, come on, I look like a Ken doll.
That was funny.
And he's all upset about this. Yeah, and the other guy's just, Cable is just yelling at him. He's all like, oh god, it was so dumb. And yeah, the whole plot was about they needed his dick. And they got it. The villains have his penis.
And there's a dick they can do about it, right?
Yeah, so what are they gonna do now? I don't know, but that's a great lead for the next issue. What are they gonna do with his penis? Oh man, this is bad. I'm so happy we're
I think you're gonna have to continue reading the solo, Lura.
Oh.
It was bad, and you know what? I kinda had some fun reviewing it, but, when I read like 26 books, and after I read, was it Blitzstrike? I was like, why did I read this?
Because Lura made you? Alright, next book.
1872, written by Jerry Duggan and art by Doc Shatner.
I thought this was a really fun book. I wasn't expecting much. I enjoyed it.
See, I had the exact opposite reaction. I was hoping for more, and I was a little disappointed.
Well, it's the first issue.
I thought this was a really good realization of Secret Wars concept again.
Mm-hmm.
We did not have characters who were just the exact same characters. We had characters who were kind of exaggerated versions of the characters set in a completely different setting,
mm-hmm.
which is fun. And it was a Western.
Yeah, the town is called Timely, because, you know, that's what Marvel Comics was called once upon a time, Timely Comics.
Cool.
And the town is run by Mayor Wilson Fisk, and I guess the governor of the area is Governor Roxxon.
Wilson Fisk is Boss Hogg.
Awesome.
And he wears a white suit.
Yeah.
I want them to end with the cliffhanger with Tony and with Steve, and I could be like, how are the Bulls gonna get out of this one?
That'd be great.
Yeah, the main plot is they reintroduced Red Wolf in this issue.
Uh-huh.
He's trying to blow up the dam because it's redirecting the water that his people was using.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, you know, they're experiencing hardship because they have no water. But he gets captured by Fisk's men. They try to lynch him, but Steve Rogers, who's the sheriff, he's like, no, he's gonna have a trial. I'm gonna imprison him, but he's, you know, we're no more lynchings. So we get a little sense of who he is. You know, Cap is the, he's the sheriff. He's, the man of the law. Tony Stark is his, former partner and a drunk.
Awesome.
And, Fisk wants him, he gets his people to kill, Steve and Red Wolf, but Steve's able to fight him off and he actually ends up killing them. And awesome. Hanging their bodies in the town square.
Awesome.
It's like, oh, look, this is a message. That was pretty good, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So Fisk is upset because, you know, they weren't able to take him out. So I guess he got a call from, or not a call, he got a telegraph from Roxxon people. He's like, oh, we're going to send our people here to finish the job. And it's Bullseye, Elektra, and I guess Grizzly Guy and somebody else.
Grizzly Man.
Grizzly Man, I don't know, is he called Grizzly Man or is he called like the Bruin or some shit or is he Grizzly Man?
Well, he's Grizzly Man and,
Okay.
And Ant-Man?
And Ant-Man, yeah, he's Grizzly Man.
No, I mean, I thought it was it's a fun little, mini, I think, for this one.
Yeah, I enjoyed this.
Alright, our next book, Amazing Spider-Man's Renew Your Vows, issue number 2, writer Dan Slott, art by Adam Kurtzberg.
In future world ruled by new evil villain.
Regent.
People cannot use superpowers.
No, they cannot.
Unless they work for him.
Yes.
And boy, does he have a team of jobbers working for him.
Oh, no, that's good.
Yeah, he's got the superior foes working for him.
Yeah. God, I can't believe Boomerang is one of, although he did, Shocker did do good, and he got promoted to the Sinister Six.
Nice.
The elite squad. Shocker.
Yeah. Peter's daughter has powers, And she has like this power inhibitor, so you know she won't have powers, but she ends up breaking it.
Yeah, it keeps going on the fritz too. Yeah, that's what they mentioned.
Yeah, so the replacement parts are expensive, and I guess Mary Jane is kind of struggling to, you know, be an actress, and I guess Peter doesn't get as much work, but he finds some work. The Demolition Man is protesting Regent's Rule,
mm-hmm.
but he gets stopped, so he takes pictures and. Apparently, the Daily Bugle pays people for the pictures to not be published.
But they'll pay people once they get the photos.
Well, J. Jonah Jameson works for Regent because he's turned into a tool,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to get his face turned in this book.
Turned into a tool?
Yeah, he's basically he pays more because he's supported by the evil government
mm-hmm.
to suppress the information than other people pay. To buy it and presumably publish it in their underground paper or whatever.
Yeah, and then when he was there selling the photos, he finds out that the Sinister Six is at the school where his daughter's at.
Uh-oh.
So he thinks they're after his daughter. So he heads over there in his makeshift Spidey gear, and he come to find out they weren't after his daughter. They were after the Powers kids.
Yeah, there was like a dozen kids. Yeah.
Yeah, the Power Pack. So, you know, he's able to kind of fight him off a little bit and escape with her and, or not escape with her, but you know, he gets him out of there. But you know, he's able to make it home and, I guess he realizes that he needs to take him out because they're never going to be safe now because, you know, they already know the jig is up. Mm-hmm. You know, they know Spider-Man is still out there. So, you know, he goes, Mary Jane mentions how, you know, he's gonna have to keep to the shadows and stuff, so he's like, you can't use a red and blue, suit anymore. So now he's going back to the old black costume.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, the daughter was afraid of because, you know,
she was
like, the shadow thing from her nightmares.
Yeah, well, in the beginning, that's why she had, she was sleeping on
the ceiling
of her room.
Mm-hmm.
Because she thought that, the symbiote was coming out from under her bed to get her.
Which wouldn't be surprised if that's what it is.
And right before that, Peter had a nightmare about that too.
Yeah, it was Eddie Brock. He's kind of taunting him from the grave. But the thing is, okay, Eddie Brock died, right? And when Spider-Man let that building fall on him? Who's to say the symbiote didn't survive?
I mean, this could legit be that.
And that's what I'm thinking, because she said it was something from under her bed, and like we've seen both instances of both Peter and his daughter, they're, you know, they're experiencing symbiote, so I'm thinking, what's really under bed is probably the symbiote trying to get her.
I don't know if that's the case, but
could be.
I wouldn't be surprised.
This is a fun little book.
Mm-hmm.
I like this story.
Yeah, the first one sold gangbusters, by the way.
Because they're giving people what they want. Peter back with Mary Jane.
I don't know if post-Secret Wars are gonna be getting that, but it'd be nice.
Well, I hope we do, because the whole reason for doing it was, oh, we want to be single again. Well, they're going to have Miles. Miles can be single.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need two single Spider-Men.
No.
One of them can be married.
There you go.
This isn't DC. Characters can be happy.
All right. Our next book, Civil War Number 1, written by Charles Soule, out by, let's see if I can pronounce this right, Lenio Francis Yu.
He has been doing comics for a long time, by the way.
This was
a tremendous book, by the way.
Yeah, I love this book.
I thought it was really good. I will tell people I don't like this anywhere near as much as them.
No, and right off the bat, I'm telling you guys, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Already, right off the bat, contender for Book of the Week. I love this book.
Book of the Week I don't fight with, but in a year, I'm not going to remember this book.
Oh, well, believe me, I will. But when the redux of Civil War done significantly better than the original by Mark Miller.
It's not a redux. That's the thing. I was hoping this would be a redone version of Civil War where Civil War was good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's a sequel to Civil War with an alternate ending where the Civil War never ended.
Yes. And in fact, they blew up all New York, and then, like I said, nobody wins. The fight, like you said, the fight continues to go, and it sort of tears the nation in half, and you have, like, two sides. You have, I think, was the Iron Side and the Blue Side.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and it still stayed true to Civil War because Cap is kind of a douchebag, and Tony is also kind of a dick. So the characters are still as not true themselves as they were in Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not complaining about because it works for this story.
It's got that Cold War feel to it. It's like, oh, they're meeting in the middle and they're having talks after all these years and freaking, the blue side is basically small government.
That's what this sort of reads like. Yeah. In the sense that
but they're not.
Yeah.
Because if you break the law, we didn't see it, but they apparently send the Punishers after you who then murder you.
Mm-hmm. It's smaller government though.
Which, for the fact that if somebody breaks the law, they murder them with their hit squad.
Yeah, it's
which is not small government.
It's borderline anarchy.
Except with an incredibly strong government who murders people without trial.
Mm-hmm.
It's not small government versus big government.
It's not real, but no, not really, because they mentioned right off the bat, they don't have a centralized government on the west side. Everybody has their own communities that self-govern.
Except there is someone who oversees it because Cap and the military oversee it and make sure they don't break rules, which the only rule is don't kill people.
Mm-hmm.
Still, they have a rule and they have someone who enforces the rule. Therefore, even though they let the little communities run themselves, it's still what basically amounts to incredibly strong control by a government who's off hands in other ways. And their economy is tanking.
Mm-hmm. Well,
they can't trade. Because they're not a recognized country. They have an embargo against them.
They
have a lot of space, but it looks like they don't have enough food, I guess, to provide for them.
Which, by the way, was the only plot inconsistency in this thing, because while I can hit it for stuff, I can't hit it for that.
Mm-hmm.
They have, like, the mother of one of the kids who was killed.
Yeah.
In the thing that kicked off Civil War, where the New Warriors were fighting Nitro and he exploded and blew up part of a town. She's brokering the peace deal in, like, they put a big crack down the middle of the country. That's the border, and she lives inside the crack.
Terrible.
But, sorry, I know, I'm sorry. But she had them there, and they were talking, and Tony basically says, I'll give you back all the stuff you need, you know, the food and the supplies, you're not getting because you don't have any trade, if you give me land. Cap had just finished saying, well, we got tons of land, and we don't have as many people as you. And Cap responds, I'm not going to move even one of my people to give your people from the iron space. And it's like, well, dude, we just established 3 pages before that you got nothing but space and you don't have the people to fill it.
It came off to me as one of those things where he doesn't want to listen to reason. And because it's coming from Tony, he won't back down. Which,
like I said, that's what Cap was in Civil War, but that still kind of bothers me because it's not Captain America, but this is Battle World, so it's okay.
Yeah.
The peace deal broke down entirely because apparently, when they were arguing with each other and, you know, they were all standing up and then the woman got in between them, she got shot by a sniper and, they found out it was from Cap's side, but the rifle was so far away. The only person who could have done it was Bullseye, and Bullseye was a Tony guy.
Yes.
And he was like, and he wasn't trying to kill her because she got up, you know, the shot, that means a shot came or was shot before she got up.
So they said it would have taken 7 seconds to have.
Yeah. So when they were still standing up, then she got up, then she got shot. So it was meant for Cap. So the bickering went forever, and apparently Cap and some of his other people, I guess they're preparing for war. And he's like, well, we're gonna finish this. Oh, there was also some stuff, apparently Spider-Man had been living in the West Side the whole time, and his family was separated from him. They were living on Tony's side.
Yeah, so when Iron Man went to the negotiations, he brought Spider-Man's family with him, and he's like, I haven't seen you guys in years, oh my god.
Yeah. It's kind of like that's what happened. East and West Germany, and families that were separated because of the wall.
Huh. I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah. Same day. Yeah. This was a like I said, it was like a Cold War feel to it. But it was, you know, a U.S. base and a civil war that actually separated the country.
Fantastic art, which I feel like talking about right now. God.
Tony's side was the actual, recognized, country. Apparently, Steve's side is the rogue state.
Yeah.
How big is friggin' Battle World that...
Yeah, that's another thing I kept thinking about.
One of the main territories is the United States.
I imagine it's the same.
I didn't think of that until now.
I don't know.
Then it's also, you know, we're dealing with like fantasy sci-fi things. So it can literally be as big as you need it to be. So who's to say how big a planet can be?
Oh yeah, I mean, it's not a big deal. I didn't even think of it until he mentioned.
And there's for several instances where you sort of don't think about it, where you're like, well, like, how is it that they can function like almost independently from it, and they don't ever mention any of the other realms? It's like, it's kind of weird. Maybe
their individual realms are their own different planets sized. I don't know. Like it's its own planet sized area is every realm. Maybe.
Yeah, it very well could be. Yeah, that is not outside the realm of possibility. Because, like I said, we're dealing with, you know, comic book science, so it can literally be as big as the writer needs it to be. I guess we're just so used to, you know, like the Earth being only so big, but when you see when you see other bigger planets, it's like,
oh no, it's fine. I don't have a problem with it.
Okay,
I'm just saying.
All right, our next book, Master of Kung Fu number 3, writer Hayden Blackman, art by, oh geez, this is gonna be hard. Talibor Trahilic.
Sad about this book?
What? It's gonna end?
This was hurt by the fact that it was a mini series because as I'm reading this, they get to the part where they're basically having a big turn, you know, Mortal Kombat, and whoever wins in the end gets to fight the Emperor, and if he wins, he becomes the new Emperor. And Shang-Chi wants to fight his dad, so he enters the contest, but his dad's pissed off that Shang-Chi entered. So he sets up the brackets of the fights, so basically everyone fights Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Shang-Chi has to fight all these people, and it's done in basically, get one fight, he fights Narmer. And then all the other fights are done in 2 pages.
Mm-hmm.
Or 4 pages, or is it 3? There's a 2-page spread of him, getting his ass kicked by all the people.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next page shows him beating all the people. And, you know, it's characters like, Moon Knight, Black Panther.
Psylocke.
Yeah, Psylocke is one of them. Who else? There's tons of them.
This is all building Shang-Chi versus Iron Fist. And that's what we get at the end of this issue.
Which is fine in the end. But if this comic was in a mini series, then we could have an issue for each of these fights.
Yeah.
Where they could have done something to develop each of the characters and, you know, talk about their particular beliefs or whatever. It would have been really interesting and really good as a series. But because this is so short, we got, you know,
abbreviated
12 or 11 of the fights in 3 pages. And then it was all to build up to the fight against Iron Fist, which is fine. Really, this would have been great if each of those fights would have gotten an individual issue. And we can't have that. Because of time, I understand that, but I think that's a huge missed opportunity.
But then it could have been just like many of these other books in the sense that, okay, some of these characters are sort of Battle World exclusive, but you could do a gimmick where the book continues and you use other characters. Like you could have used the Battle World.
It wouldn't be as cool though.
Yeah, the next issue is the last issue, by the way.
Yeah, see, it's already going to be done. So he'll, you know, something will happen with Iron Fist and then hopefully he'll beat his dad, and he'll be emperor.
Yeah, I thought it was a really cool idea. He's entering this tournament. He's going to be all these people. He's going to fight his dad at the end, but the winner gets to be emperor, but Shang-Chi specifically says, I'm not doing this to be emperor. He says, I'm doing this because I don't think my father should be emperor, so I'm doing this to dethrone him, but at the end of the day,
he wants to kill him.
Yeah, he's not seeking the throne in this. He's just looking for blood. He's out for blood.
Yeah, but Iron Fist really wants to kill Shang-Chi because he killed his dad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But he killed his dad under orders
from his own
Shang-Chi's dad, who was the emperor.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, it's very, very good. I love this. So much better than that piece of crap Shang-Chi series. The 4 issues that we only read 2 of because it was so garbage. Some of that, but know, whatever. We got one issue left.
Squadron Sinister number 2, writer Mark Guggen, art by Carlos Pacheco.
I told you Sinister was number 1 badass.
I'll tell
even
you.
In this book. Who does Hyperion go to for advice on his evil shit? Sinister.
Baron awesome. Sinister.
Baron Sinister is a beast.
I was telling Marvel this is kind of an indictment on DC in the sense that the best Justice League book out there is from Marvel. And has
this isn't a Justice League book. It's a crime syndicate book.
But still, that's like Justice League. And then we know post Secret Wars we're getting a Squadron Supreme book, and I can guarantee you right now, while I'm actually kind of a fan of the recent Justice League book, I guarantee the Squadron Supreme's probably gonna be better.
I don't know, it's written by Robinson.
But then again, you gotta look who's writing Justice League as well.
Not Robinson.
Your favorite
Justice League is. There's multiple Justice League.
I'm talking
Justice League 3000. It's awesome.
I'm talking just Justice League.
Well, Justice League of America is good, and he's an artist. I get what you're saying, but it's a different writer writing that story from this story. Mm. They're not going to be villains in that. They're probably going to be heroes.
Yeah, but still, I like this better than.
So there's going to be. I know, but I'm saying the actual book when they launch it is going to be a different book,
and I probably like that better.
In this book, they fight the Frightful Four, who is trying to, take over Europix, is what they call it. It's one of the three cities in the greater Utopolis kingdom.
No. They're connected. They're different battle world cities.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're
not cities. They're different battle world lands of their own. But Doom is apparently just allowing them to do this because in Secret Wars we learned that Doom doesn't like people going out and doing this on their own. But in this it seems, you know, maybe it's not okay because they killed a Thor. So never mind.
Yeah, the Thor thing's still there. No, Doom is fine with the infighting, but the thing is Europix is within Utopolis. So as long as they're infighting, he's fine with it because that means they get weaker and they don't have to, he doesn't have to mess with them as much.
He's gonna make it, yeah, but we, what was it, new, whatever, the new universe was there. Hickers Inc. represent. They didn't have NFL Super Pro. Which I guess they can't. They don't have the NFL license anymore, but that made me sad. But we did get someone from Hickers Inc. And Starbrand made his return. And yeah. Merc? Oh god, I popped.
Freaking Nighthawk is still planning his scheme, and he knows that Warrior Woman is, trying to take down, Hyperion as well.
Yeah, cause Warrior Woman is working with one of the, with the new universe.
Yes.
Well, secretly, even though she's sleeping with Hyperion. Ooh, can't trust her. And, but he was like standing there when she was meeting with the guy. He was hiding up and he was Batman. And he heard her talking, so he, I don't know what he's gonna do.
No.
That was the cliffhanger.
No, he confronted her, but we don't know what's gonna happen.
Yeah, he says, I know what you're up to, but at the same time, I'm not gonna try to stop you. Which was interesting.
Well, she was like, oh, what are you gonna have me do this? And he's like, no, I've got other plans for you.
Awesome. Love this book! Alright.
Yeah, it's really good. It's fun.
Okay, Lando number 1. Writer Charles Soule as well, and art by Alex Maleev.
This was better than I expected a Lando book to be.
Yeah.
Yes, he's kind of like Star-Lord, but
yes.
but more of a Casanova.
Which, if you can believe that.
This book opened up with him getting what he wanted.
Yes.
Seduction.
Yeah, he seduced an Imperial governor. Known as the Burning Moth, so he can steal a piece of technology to pay off a large debt. But instead of like just fleeing with it, he ends up confessing to her, and she points her blaster at him and his everything. But he manages to sweet talk his way out of her.
Yeah, which his assistant had told him was incredibly risky, and he probably shouldn't have done that. But he reasoned that if I had just stolen it from her, then we would be on the run. He's like, I got it from her in a cleaner way, and now we're good, and I can go pay this off. But when he went to go pay his debt off, the guy he owed money to revealed that that was, in fact, his thing, and it was stolen from him. So for returning it, he gave him 10% off his debt and then told him, you're going to have to do this for me, and then you'll be debt-free.
Yes. And the new job he has for him is he wants him to steal a luxury ship from a secret Imperial shipyard. and after that, you know, he can walk away without a bounty on his head. So him and his assistant Lobot, they recruit these two mysterious muscle guys to blast away into the installation.
Uh-huh.
Well, they're not really muscle guys, they're fighters. They're actually really thin and
by muscle, I mean, you know, guys that
Like they're acting as muscle.
Exactly, that's what he meant.
Okay.
So, you know, they're able to steal the ship, this luxury ship, and we come to find out that, you know, it's owned by Emperor Palpatine.
Uh-oh.
Da-da-da. Yes. That's where Palpatine chills, and he's like, you will never be my champion. That's where he does it. He does it from his luxury ship.
You will never be my champion. Like,
I don't know. He just strikes me as just a mincing old pedophile. So he's probably got kids up there and doing horrible things. He's that evil, right? No, he likes killing kids. He's not a pedophile.
No.
By the way, while we were reading this, we're reviewing this, apparently they're coming out with a Star Wars crossover comic coming soon.
Crossover with what?
Vader crossing over with something else.
Okay, another Star Wars book?
Probably.
Okay, that doesn't make any sense because Vader's already a character in Star Wars.
I'm not sure what the crossover is exactly, but I saw something about a cross. It's like a mini. It's like a separate event book or something.
Yeah, because go ahead.
I thought he meant like Star Wars crosses over with Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, that'd be awesome. That's what I was hoping.
It's like a mini or some shit.
When they did Secret Wars, I was kind of hoping we were going to get that. But
You know, Secret Wars, we already know there's no cross-gen, there's no Malibu, there's no Star Wars. You're missing out, Marvel.
I know.
It's called Star Wars Vader Down.
Okay.
It's different. Is it like a football book?
I don't know. No. It says here, it says Star Wars and Vader crossover, written by Jason Aaron and Kieran Gillen.
Ooh.
Art by Mike Diodato and Salvador LaRocca. So it's gonna have good art.
It's gonna have good art and two good writers. That's an odd pick.
Yeah.
Love me some Mike Diodato. Did that original Sin crossover, which, while not very good as far as a written story, it was amazing art.
Yeah. I love Diodato. Yeah.
Yes. Alright. Next book, Bloodshot Reborn number 4, art by Jeff Lemire, art by Miko Sayin.
It's another good issue.
Yes, I love this book with all my heart.
What was this book again? I'm sorry, I was talking to Jack.
Bloodshot Reborn number 4.
Oh yeah, this is good.
Very good book. Continues to impress me. I love this.
It's starting to get a little bit more bleak. You know, before it was a little bit less bleak because, you know, he was working as a handyman at that motel and stuff. He's still crazy. He's still talking to his, to the dead, Geomancer and that little blood squirt.
Yeah, I love blood squirt.
We get a little bit of background information on that one FBI agent, Diane's festival.
Mm-hmm.
From apparently the FBI guy she was working with, or a cop guy, whoever he was, but he was looking into her past, and apparently her mom was killed by her dad, and her dad killed himself or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and she was in like an orphanage, but she was also like super intelligent. So he kind of started feeling bad and guilty about, you know, arguing with her. So, Bloodshot ends up, finding another guy who's infected by these nanites. Mm-hmm. And, I don't think it wasn't him who ended up killing her, right? It was his girlfriend.
Yeah, he was about to fight him, but then the girlfriend comes up behind him and shoots him in the chest.
Yeah. So now he's on a run. He took her with her. It looked like she was about to kill him, but, he's like, look,
he talked her down, yeah.
Yeah, he talked her down. They ran off together.
Her name is Magic, which he already called BS on, but he's like, no, that's mine.
No, no one is named Magic, and she's like, well, I am.
But then he did the gimmick again, like he did with the Geomancer. Here he had his inner monologue. He's like, oh, I think I'm falling in love with her. I'm like, really, dude?
Because that narration is coming from the future.
Oh, okay.
That is not present day narration, because in the narration, he indicates that he falls in love with her, and that caused all kinds of problems, and that's where him falling in love with her and keeping her around is where everything went to shit.
But it's just funny, because he did the same gimmick with the Geomancer, and it's just like, really, you're gonna do that again?
Yeah, okay.
Like, that's my only nitpick of the series so far.
I can defend that storyline-wise. When he was Bloodshot, he was not meant to have any emotion.
Oh, okay.
So Geomancer actually showed kindness to him, and I've looked this up online. People theorize that being around the Geomancer lessened the nanites control on him. So he was able to feel human. So the first woman who showed him any sort of
compassion,
kindness,
yeah,
he would obviously feel very strongly towards her, even though he only knew her for a day. Same with this chick. He doesn't have all the nanites out of him because he's getting them back, but he's not controlled by
rising. He's able to control the nanites better now. He's not controlled by the nanites. He controls the nanites.
Yeah. So again, it's a woman who apparently shows some affection towards him. So due to the fact he hasn't had that in so long, he hasn't had any emotion, he'll be more inclined to feel attached to her.
Okay.
Yeah. We also still got the stuff of, he still has his files. He hasn't read what about his past yet. This was kind of the end of his whole, road trip thing, you know?
We're gonna find out, because the profiler.
Yeah.
Who's working with the cops, like the super, I don't know if she has superpowers, but she has super intuition.
I'm not under the impression she has superpowers. I think she's just really smart.
Well, she knows everything that's going on. She said she's going to Project Rising Spirit because that's where everything's leading her. So I think she's the one who's eventually going to find out his whole past and everything. Because she knows, nobody else knows it's him because there's nothing to connect him. Mm-hmm. Like they even said, we got to do some real police work. That's how we're going to solve this. None of your magic bullshit. And, she's like, no, I'm going to follow up on this. This guy is definitely the one doing this, and I'm going to find out how. And I bet she does, and I bet it involves his past. But that's the hook for the book. I mean, it's a good book, but the main hook is you want to find out what his history is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I said, and he knows he has the file. He has his files. He hasn't got around to. He can't bring himself to read them.
Yep, it's a good hook.
Yeah. No, this is a tremendous book, by the way.
Yeah,
continues really to impress. Continues to be.
I got complaints about this book.
Yeah. All right, Archie number one, written by Mark Waid, art by Fiona Staples.
Such a comic, girls.
I like it. It's fun. Jughead's far and away the star of this book.
It was fun, and, you know, it's Fiona Staples. The art was really good. I'll probably give it another issue, but, I mean, this book isn't directed at me.
You.
I don't know.
You cynical old man, you.
It's modern day Archie. Him and Betty apparently have had a relationship, has gone back a long time. And they broke up over some vague thing that they refer to as the lipstick incident.
Yeah.
Although she says he did not cheat on her.
Yeah. So we don't know what the hell this lipstick incident is. But all the students at the school, they're like, well, they're meant to be together. This is a power couple. So they're trying to rig a vote.
No, my favorite part is if there's no hope for them, there's no hope for us.
Yeah. Yeah. So their plan to get them back together is to rig a vote to make them the prom king and queen. And Jughead's like not on board. He's like, look, can't you just leave him alone? You know, they're
just let it run its course. They'll obviously get back together. They have to miss each other first to realize what mistake they've made. But if you do this,
his theory being if you know, he's the prom king and she's the prom queen and they're forced back together in front of everyone, it wouldn't be anything but awkward. It wouldn't actually bring them back together. So he burnt all the votes for Archie.
Yeah, he pretended at first to be on board, but he rigged the vote the other way.
But as far as them getting back together, those who know anything about Archie know there's a problem coming,
mm-hmm.
because Veronica's family is moving to town.
Yes.
So Veronica's going to be there.
And actually, Archie's also in a band. He was playing guitar at the prom, but Jughead made it so the actual regular lead guitarist,
yeah, that was awesome,
glued to his car so he can give Archie, you know, his moment.
Covered is his the wheel and super glue, so his hands are good.
The kids come to Jughead. They're like, Jughead, how can you help us out? He's like, okay, I'm gonna need crazy glue. And then all of a sudden, you cut to the band, and it's like, oh, where's our lead guitarist? He's not here. Oh, well. Archie, I guess you have to go up there. And then from there, they cut to the original lead singer, and he's there, and he's stuck in his car with his hand stuck to the wheel. Very wacky.
This book actually, the backup story for this book had the reprint of the very first appearance of Archie.
Yeah, Archie looked very differently. He looked very scary, in fact.
Yeah, they look younger, too.
It's old.
Yeah,
no, but I guess old, but
Betty
just
was always around before. I guess Betty predates Veronica. Veronica was somebody they added in later on. There was a third girl too, apparently, that they added in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what her name is. But there's a third girl, but she's not as common as
Marvel. What's the Japanese terminology for a book like this?
Harem.
this continues, and I predict going forward it's going to be a harem book.
Does that count with only two girls?
Well, I don't know. That's a good point. But
that's a love triangle. Well, no, it's not though.
Yeah, but I brought this up when he brought the fourth girl or the third girl
back together.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
Tenchi. It's like
Tenchi Muyo.
little bit.
The book was well written. The art was good.
I'm sure Tenchi Muyo got the inspiration from Archie.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Was Archie really big in Japan?
Well, I mean, Western comics are known. Like I said, the books like the Avengers and Justice League are the whole reason why Power Rangers exist in Japan.
But Archie?
I don't know, maybe. Who knows? I don't know if that's ever been translated over there. It might.
I mean, it very well could be. I don't get the sense that the Archie people have enough money to send their books off to Japan. Although maybe somebody licensed it. I don't know.
Or maybe someone thought, oh, I'm going to rip off Archie and I'm going to do it in Japan. No one's going to know any better. But the fact of the matter is the fact that it was kind of popular over there in Japan proves that Archie, if they would bring him over, would probably be at least somewhat popular.
Yeah, I don't know if it's ever been localized over there. Cause I know there's Marvel books are localized in Japan, you know, in trade. Mm-hmm. They do have them in Japanese. I know I've seen when I went to the bookstores there, I seen The Walking Dead and stuff like that. They had them in Japanese.
I saw your photos from on Facebook, so that was cool.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe it has in the past. I have no clue.
I don't know. No, the book was fine. It's just like
I know what you're saying. It's like it's not bad,
it's a teen love book.
But it's like, do you really have to read it? It's like one of those things. Like, do I really need to read this?
I like it. I'll continue reading. It's nice, sweet, funny story.
Yeah, do I really need to read anything? Not really.
I'm gonna give it a couple of chances.
I like this better than a lot of books we read this week. So for that, I'm gonna give this a contender for book of the week. And Mark Waid.
I wouldn't go that far.
And Mark Waid's a fantastic writer. All right, let's go into our next book, Providence number two, written by Alan Moore, art by Jason Burroughs.
This is another weird issue.
Yes. Dealing with all things occult.
I already get the sense that Lurro's right in that this is going to make a lot more sense and read a lot better in trade.
Are we talking about Injection?
No, Providence, you fuck.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
So angry, Marvel, jeez.
Up at 2 a.m. He just woke up and he's on his computer, which, okay,
chill out.
Well, okay, what they did in this issue was, he talked about weird stuff. And they showed weird stuff, and then the last page confirmed that there actually is weird stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, I read all 23 books I read today in like 2.5 hours.
Oh
span.
My god!
So
you
I
poor
get
bastard.
To the end of this book, and last time I read this, where I thought that the you know the little handwritten fake handwritten pages were actually very useful in understanding the story. They not only had that in this issue, but then it was followed up with about 8 pages of typed print. And I very much wanted to read this. I did not have time. The only thing I read was I read far enough to find out that the main character, in fact, gay, which I had the strong indication of in this issue. He was very charmed by Tom Malone.
He's a detective, right?
Yeah, the Irish cop, because not only is he a dreamy man, but he's very intelligent. And
oh
weird.
My God.
You know, in the letters thing, he called him like the pinnacle of masculinity or something. But then he indicated he thought he might have been a gay and was going to tell him he doesn't really go that way. Mm. But that was funny. No, but he goes to see this guy who he was led to.
It's like Saemon or something. It's something about a book on alchemy.
Yeah, and he doesn't seem like a – he seems kind of like a carny. Like, he's sitting down to talk – well, first, he's talking to the cop, and the cop tells him, like, oh, yeah, that used to be a church, but now it's like a club. But he does something in the basement with people, like has, like, cult meetings. And then he's talking about another place. He's like, oh, yeah, there too. He's got a basement, and he does something with these cult people. So he goes into the guy's house. The guy's very nice to him.
Mm-hmm.
Brings him into his house, and he walks past an open door. He's like, yeah, this place is really big. Wow, you even have a basement. He's like, oh, yeah. You can go down there now, though, because there's a gas leak. And he takes him upstairs, and he starts talking about all this weird shit. And the guy's like, oh, I got a pamphlet on that. He's like, that'll be $1, by the way. And then he's got another one. He shows it to him. He's like, oh, that'll also be $1. I'm sorry, printing cost. And then someone comes up.
They have words.
Some chick, and she's like, yeah, we got this fruit from another country or whatever, which is revealed this is actually true because they're walking away. They do the really small text,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't gibberish. I actually read it.
Oh, see, I assume whenever they do that, it's gibberish. What would they say?
No, it was. He just said, like, how old is the fruit? And she's like, it's 4 or 5 days. And he's like, oh, good. And they walked off. So as he's leaving, he goes down into the basement, and when he's in the basement, he sees a, like, trap door leading to another basement, and he goes down the other basement, long flight of stairs, and then he's in a cave, and he walks through the cave, and there is
a
ghost of some sort.
They're referencing Cthulhu is what they're doing. There's underwater stuff, there's old torn down ruins, mm-hmm. and then a freaking monster comes out to attack him.
A scary naked lady monster, yeah.
His hat falls off, he cracks his head, wakes up, and the guy's there with the chick, and he's like, oh,
he's hallucinating because of the gas.
He tells him he's hallucinating because of the gas, which is, that can happen. That is a legitimate,
mm-hmm.
that is a legitimate thing, except as he's leaving, he goes, hey, did I have a hat when I came in? And the guy and the girl go, oh, no, you didn't have a hat.
I don't remember you having a hat. So he just assumes, oh, because of the gas, and then him passing out, he's like, oh, okay, I guess I didn't have a hat. But we know as the reader he did.
Just a little naive.
Yeah.
Yeah. We know he had a hat. So this apparently actually happened. And then there was a guy waving freaking peacock feathers, which he said was some weird Middle Eastern cult thing because that's where he's from.
Yeah, he's from, he was Kurd. He's a Kurd, so he's from Iraq.
Yeah. But as, you know, the guy's walking away and then we get the last pages of that dude and he's like zombie guy.
Yeah, like, something's wrong with
Yeah, which we assume is legit because our character was not seeing this. This is the reader is seeing this. So weird shit is going on.
They explain more shit about the cult stuff. Remember he talked about the people who follow this, something about lengthening their life and it has to do with like cold temperatures. And remember in the first issue that one guy that he had that AC? That's what he was doing.
Yeah, there were four different ways. One of them was diet, one of them was temperature, one of them was, something else, and then the last one is like, bringing a dead body back to life.
Yeah, cadaver.
Yeah, bringing a cadaver back to life. So, and this guy mentioned, and this is why the last page of the zombie was interesting, he said that was the one I'm most interested in, and then he's apparently got a dead guy hanging out outside his building. So,
weird.
Does he actually know how this works? We don't know. I thought that this is a really clever book, which it's Alan Moore, so that's, you know, that's what he does. But they're not giving you too much, but this issue gave you enough weird shit that Fat Man didn't, but most people would read and say, oh, I want to know what's going on with that. Since they showed something in this issue, I can assume in the future issues they're going to show me more.
Yes.
But it doesn't give it all out. It gives you bits and pieces at a time, mm-hmm. but it's still a logical story that makes sense in where it's going.
And it's not vague as shit like Injection, mm-hmm. by the way.
Although Injection cleared up a lot.
A little bit.
It didn't give us what the... Let's move right into Injection.
Yeah.
Injection has fucking fantastic art, by the way.
I'm getting the writer and artist right now. Let's see.
Warren Ellis and Declan Shavery,
yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Now, what Marvel is saying is sort of true. They gave us more. The things that are going wrong in the planet, they refer to as Injection.
Yes.
We don't know why. What basically going on is there's two different thoughts. One of the characters, they call them one of the cunning folk. That's a real thing. They're basically white witches. It's like an old English thing, but these were real people. They were like the English version of witch doctors, kind mm-hmm. of.
Yeah.
Except they didn't do human sacrifice and shit. None of that, but this is a real thing. He almost believes it's magical in nature. The other chick believes it's more science-based.
Yeah.
But there is something, we don't know what, that is bringing these fantasy myth things to life, but they have to follow the rules of the myths.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a way to defeat them, they can be defeated the same way the myth can be defeated.
Okay. Seems legit.
So that's what's going on. There's, you know, and there's a part of, they flat out said it's MI6, but the English government has a division that specifically deals with this. And they brought in him and they brought in the weird chick who I liked, who I still like, because I think she's wacky.
Rigid.
Yeah, but they're dealing with this, but they're kind of, the guy and the girl are dealing with it in separate ways, although he has helped her out. He made her basically, and this was neat, because what they're doing is there's probably a science aspect to this, but it's also, by the way that they're behaving, it's mystical. He gave her what was a rich dagger, but it had some kind of device that emitted like electromagnetic waves out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically combining the science with the magic thing, because he said, you know, this electromagnetism is one of the four pillars of what everything is built on.
Yeah.
Is what they believe. So did we get a complete explanation of what's going on? No, we don't know what the injection is. We don't know why it's called that, except that they're taking it like it's an injection of this fantasy shit into the real world.
We also don't know what it means for the future civilization.
They strongly indicated this is only going on in England. Because he basically said it has to be UK-based myths.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, he mentioned that specifically, which would lead you to believe that, you know, America, Asia, they're all off the table for this.
Apparently, and he also mentioned some shit about, it was something about pixies, but he goes, oh, they're more accurately called Spriggans.
Yeah. But then he also explained the science behind the thing they thought about Spriggans could be explained via scientific fact.
Yeah.
So it was interesting. I like this. This is my favorite issue of this book because I think it opens them up to go a lot of different ways with it.
Well, they actually did something this week. Continuing
series. I would hope as it moves on, he could maybe move out of England and this would happen in other countries. And because if what we're dealing with is something that is causing myths to become real.
Like a worldwide myth thing?
Exactly. Every other country has its own internal myths that came from that country.
And you got an endless supply of storylines with it.
Exactly. And that's why this book could be really good. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, England doesn't have a huge amount of those stories. They do. but I'm not familiar with all of them.
But you're saying as far as the long-term prospects of this book, if it wants to really have legs, you could have this book go on forever if you literally take it worldwide and every single country has its own myths. And literally, like I said, this book can go on for, maybe not forever, but it can go on for considerably longer than I'm sure what Ellis has planned.
Exactly.
If Brian Woods is listening to us right now, he's probably thinking that as well. He's probably thinking, eventually Ellis is going to leave the book and then I'm going to do other countries.
Well, the only problem with that is this is Image, right?
Uh-huh.
So it's creator owned. Ellis and the artist own this, so you'd have to basically cede his own property to Brian Wood to get him to come do his story.
But you could do
it. Although maybe he'll just let him fill in. I guarantee if he has to do a fill in, he's getting Brian Wood to do it. Because that's the only way.
I would say they should just, you know, quit the facade and just write a book together, but that's what every single book they do already is, so.
And I want to say again, I really, really, really like the art in this book. The parts where they're drawing the kind of fantastical myth-based stuff, crossing over with reality, the pages where that grassy-looking thing was coming out at him, there were like 4 pages of it. That was one of the best looking things I've seen in weeks. It looked so good. And I love that. I would read this book just for pages like that, but I do like the story.
Okay.
So Inject 3 gets a thumbs up.
Yeah, the art was very good. But with that said, it couldn't hold a candle to our next book, Strange Fruit Number 1, which was written and drawn by J.G. Jones.
No, but that's not fair because he's one of the most respected artists in comics.
Yeah, right? Well, I'm also looking for a transition, so you got it.
I do want to say this book, I was telling these guys this, well, for all of us, this went a completely different direction than what I thought.
Yeah, and
I did. Yeah, and I did comment, I thought, you know, you're getting J.G. Jones, who's a fantastic artist.
Oof.
And you're going to have him write a story about racism in 1927 Mississippi. That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm reading the book and the writing's very good. The art is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to a point in the story where a fucking meteor goes through the sky, smashes into one of their levees, and then when they go there, there's like fucking spaceship parts laying around. I'm like, oh, okay. Now it makes sense. The story's about, there's a gigantic flood coming.
Yeah, 1927 Mississippi.
Yeah. Levees aren't going to be able to keep it back. So the government sends a dude down to talk to him, but there are problems because this is 1927 Mississippi and they sent a black engineer. They don't really want to listen to him. They're basically just like, no, we don't need that. We need all these lazy black folk to get in here and fill more sandbags. That's all we need. So they get a lynch crew together to go down to the colored bar, wherein they show up with guns and like, one of the guys isn't a complete asshole. One of them.
Yeah.
He's still kind of a dick, but he's not as much of a dick as the other ones who are like, we need to lynch these motherfuckers. But they tell him, you all need to come back to work because the shit's going to go down.
Mm-hmm.
One of the guys has apparently been accused of stealing something, although he says he doesn't do it. So they see him and they're like, all right, we're getting you now. And he runs away.
His name is Sonny.
Yeah, and he's going to be one of our main characters.
Yeah.
Probably our main character. So Sonny runs away. Then we got back to the horrible racist people who are putting on their Klan outfits.
Yes, they're going after him to lynch him.
Yeah, so they go to a rich woman's house where apparently he works, and the senator is there because he's shacking up with her. And they're basically like, hey, let him go, and these people aren't racist, so they won't do it. And then the meteor crashes through the levee and explodes it. Well, the Klan guys are off to go find Sonny, who has escaped again. He ran out of the building. Basically, he was at the woman's house, but he ran away because she bought him time. So he ran away and he's running through, I don't know, the fucking swamp or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They finally catch up to him. What is there? A gigantic naked black man who doesn't talk.
And fights him off.
And fights them off and also gets shot and it does not hurt him.
No, he has superhuman strength and apparently invulnerable.
Yeah. Yeah, he apparently can't speak. I really hope his name is Johnson. he can't speak. We were all assuming he doesn't actually look like a big black guy.
Uh-huh.
but he is some sort of alien. First thing he saw was a black guy.
Mm-hmm.
So he made himself look like a black guy, just really fucking big. And he doesn't have any clothes, so he has to dress him, but the only thing he can find to dress him is the Confederate flag they drop.
He ties it around him like a towel, yeah.
Yeah, so he's got a giant flag, he got a giant black guy wearing the Confederate flag around his junk. And, that's where the issue ended.
Very, as I said, it was a very interesting way they went with this.
Yes, yes, because I mean, if they, and presumably they're still gonna deal with the issues they wanna deal with, but since you have such a great artist on it, you're also going to have aliens and spaceship shit sprinkled into the book.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little more visually interesting than just, wow, guy can really draw scenery and people of yeah. Mississippi. No, presumably now he's going to get to draw spaceships.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. The writing was very good.
Yeah, the writing was good, and the story overall is kind of interesting. But normally under most circumstances, I don't know if I'd be interested enough to want to read this going forward. But J.G. Jones's art is just gorgeous. So on the art alone, I'm gonna continue reading this book presumably just forever.
I'm interested to see how often this comes out
mm-hmm.
because yeah. you can't keep a regular schedule.
Uh-oh.
But there might have been lead time. He mm-hmm. might already have a bunch of stuff in the can.
Yeah, like Moore already has his shit in the can.
Yeah, because what was he was doing Batwoman for DC.
Mm-hmm.
That came out on time. So, I mean, he can do it. I don't know how much lead time he needs. And that book was published for him. Like, he wasn't writing it, but that was why people bought it. He was the showcase. So. Yeah, I don't know. I like this. Like you said, though, I mean, the art was just so good. Yeah, so, yeah. good first issue.
Yeah, like I said, as for new listeners, I, like I said, like before, early in the show, really new to comics, never seen J.G. Jones' art. Now that I've seen it, it's absolutely amazing. And has he drawn other books before in the past? Before you said he's the best. You know, one of the best artists out there. So what else has he drawn that I could maybe check out?
Well, I mean, the thing most recently was Batwoman. He did covers for a long time. He drew all Final Crisis, which if you'll remember my review of Final Crisis is, if you read it twice, it gets really good. Mm. When DC launched, what was he doing? When DC launched, he did one of the Watchmen series. With Azzarella, the comedian one, which is actually pretty good.
Okay, that's the
first thing I saw him do was Grant Morrison's Marvel Boy. He's done things. He did Wanted, which they turned into a movie, which I didn't like Wanted, but the art was good.
Yeah, goddamn, like I'm putting the over the art big time because I absolutely loved. And it's like almost
the,
like
this series is only 4 issues, by the way.
Yeah. Damn, that's it.
That's a crying yeah. shame.
Because well, he also did the first. He did all the covers for The Last Man until like issue 20 or something. He's in high demand as a cover artist.
I can only imagine why.
Yeah.
All right. Justice League of America, another book writer and artist, also the same person, Brian Hitch.
I like this again, and I'm very happy that
I like this one better than the first issue.
Yes, this was better than the first
issue. Significantly better.
So it was kind of a I don't know, I like the premise. Rao, the sun god of Krypton,
mm-hmm.
he's bringing heaven on Earth.
Yeah, at first everyone's kind of leery, but Superman obviously recognizes him right off the bat. It's like, oh my god, Rao, I absolutely love you, blah, blah, blah. You're turning Krypton from a war-torn planet to like almost a utopia.
But, because this could never be in comics, they pointed out, why does Superman know so much about Krypton? Why was he so quick to believe him?
Mm-hmm.
Even Superman questions this at one point. But Rao, who is presumably controlling him somehow, is like, oh, you don't worry about that. I came here for you. You're a good guy.
And yeah, Batman knows something's up. Obviously.
Well, Batman
just,
anyway.
Just his nature alone. It's like, let's say Rao's on the level. Batman's still going to question him.
Aquaman is, yeah, he's like, oh, you're a fraud, pretty much.
He's all, we don't believe in any gods. He's like, I'm not going to stop you if you want to try to, you know, evangelize my people. But the fact of the matter is, we've looked past the gods. Like, we have statues of was it Poseidon? everywhere, but you know, we've long since forgotten about those, and it's like, you're welcome to come into our country, but the fact of the matter is, you know, I don't think my people are gonna bite, but you kind of...
In the midst of all this, Wonder Woman and, Barry Allen and somebody else is missing,
mm-hmm.
and they still haven't looked for them. And Superman acknowledges this. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you know, I know I should be out there looking for them. But yeah, no shit.
But then, like I said, we cut to Rao just like all over the world curing people. They show a person who's dying of cancer, and Rao sends one of his disciples and they cure him of cancer. There's another person who was confined to a wheelchair and they stood up and started walking, so. But like I said, this does sort of read like it's almost too good to be true, and I'm sure going forward this is where we're gonna get some kind of confrontation.
At the end, when Superman tries to contact Wonder Woman, we see Wonder Woman, she's at Olympus and it's full of pieces. So presumably Rao has destroyed Olympus.
Uh oh.
Yeah.
Maybe it's one of those.
Well, he's very clearly a bad guy.
Well, yeah, duh.
And he gave, you know, the hand wave about, oh, you know, I'm a god in that, but you know, you could still keep all your beliefs. You know, you just gotta let me help. That's all. Just gotta let me help. You can keep your beliefs. And they did discuss that, you know, new gods have come to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder Woman is a god.
Yes.
So we know gods exist.
And the fact that he went for Atlantis, who the people there had previously worshipped Poseidon, maybe he went there for a reason.
Except Aquaman said, we don't really worship Poseidon anymore. You know, that's kind of an old school thing. One of the only problems with this book is it's comics have done this before where they're dealing with the issue of, what happens when people find out that, there are real gods, like they're real. You know, what does that say about, you know, if you're a Christian and this guy comes and he proves he's God, what does that do to your belief?
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is, Superman exists, who to a fairly common person would appear to be like a god. He can't die, he can fly, he's super fast, he can super speed, he can do all this shit. Rao, to a lot of people, I would imagine, just comes off as a superhero. Even arrived in a fucking spaceship.
Yeah, but it's not just that. He wants people to almost like worship him. He's like got like a god complex, so it's not just he's another superhero.
That's why he's a villain, but if he's going for a deeper story with this of how are people going to react, it kind of rings false that there were obviously still religions despite the fact that the new gods came and Wonder Woman came.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, the story questions what your perception of God should be, because this guy's clearly not a god. He's a very advanced Kryptonian, or maybe he's not a Kryptonian. But the Kryptonians worshipped him. So he's basically a guy with a really high tech level.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. He's not God.
He might be actually somebody who they, cause he said, remember he said he left Krypton? Maybe the Kryptonians banished him.
Well, he left Krypton and he felt really bad about it because Krypton got destroyed. And if you remember, Krypton got destroyed because there is that still the canon? Their sun burned.
I have no clue.
Well, at one point it was, and he was.
I thought it was the planet blew up because something internally or some shit. Wouldn't it?
There've been so many things.
Yeah, we're dealing with New 52 stuff over here, so we're not quite sure.
Had he been there, he could have saved it. Or the sun supernova?
I think the planet just blew up because of some seismic shit.
Still, had he been there, he could have saved it. But he wasn't there, and he said he felt bad about that. But he's obviously doing something to Superman's mind, making him behave the way he is. So he's not a good, he's clearly not a good guy. And Batman knows it. Batman also set up the, he revealed he had the, what was that Mark Waid story? Tower of Babel?
Yeah.
Where they found out Batman had the protocols of defeating all the Justice League. Yeah. The New 52 just found out Batman has that. So Batman has not. But he's right here because Superman has been mind controlled.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't give it to Cyborg. Tell him like, yeah, go, you know, we're going to go beat Superman. He gave it to him and said, okay, look through all these files on Krypton that I have. I have everything. And see if you could find a way to beat this thing, if he's bad. Because Batman hasn't decided he's bad yet. He thinks he is. So he sent Cyborg off to go deal with that. So Cyborg is a research bitch.
Be funny if we wind up getting like a Paradise Lost kind of thing where it's, he was like legit trying to help everybody, but then it's like everybody in their questioning, he's like, you know what, forget this, I'm just leaving.
Well, we'll see how it goes. This is, you know, I said the, if he's going for something deeper, it kind of fails because of the previous stories, but as just a core Justice League story that gives some focus onto different characters, and it's had a hook at the end of every issue so far, it's very effective.
Yeah. The series is getting better and better, so I'm actively looking forward to the third issue of this. The first one I thought was fine, but I wasn't too pumped about reading the second one.
Yeah, I wasn't excited to read.
Yeah, but now I am. I'm looking and eagerly anticipating issue 3. Alright, next book, Descenders number 5, written by Jeff Lemire, art by Dustin Nguyen.
Swerve.
Yeah, Swerve. The doctor is not the actual, the inventor?
Creator of the robots.
Yeah, he's not. Well, sort of is. He stole the templates of the modern, robot, I guess the way they're built, and he passed it off as himself because, in this issue they were kidnapped and they were taken to this planet called Nish. And it's a bunch of robot-hating pigmen. They all look like the freaking Ganon. Yeah, Ganon from The Legend of Zelda.
They should have did a panel of them laughing.
And they're evil because they look like Ganon.
Yeah. So they send that one unnamed pilot and the driller to the arenas to take them out. So they take Telsa and Dr. Kwan, and they're torturing Dr. Kwan because they want to know everything he knows about the harvesters and about how to make something, you know, make the stuff. They want to build their own.
They want to make harvester. Everybody wants to build their own harvester.
Yeah, but he reveals that after they cut off his fucking hand, that he's a fraud. He's like, I'm not the father of robotics. I stole the plans.
Yeah, and that's
there's another thing going on at the same time. Telsa, her father, remember, is, the Admiral? Yeah, he's at the UGC, and, their plan, well, you know, they want Tim 21 for the same reason. They want to be able to combat the harvesters by weapons that they can create with, finding out, you know, the secrets from Tim 21. But at the same time, there appears to be a third-party spy. There's this, some person who, you know, sending out some transmission from the UGC. And, we don't know who it is. It's some sort of third party. It could be like another planet, another country, or, you know, one of the other, planets of the Federation, I guess. But, there's a lot of spying going on. We don't know who it is. They threw in that monkey wrench with Dr. Kwan. Freaking art continues to be great. Yeah. I know, I like this book.
Yeah, I like the art. It's got that, you know, that the hard lines, but with the watercolor coloring. So it's a really cool, it's a gorgeous looking book. And it's getting a lot, it's getting significantly better as the series continues, so.
Yeah, cause that person that, that one spy, it wasn't reporting to the Nish. So it's somebody else. So now we got the Nish, we got the stuff with the UGC, we got a third party that is unknown, and we got the mystery with the harvesters. A lot of moving parts.
Interesting. What I thought it was going to be a very simple, you know, story, when you consider, you know, what's the name of the main character's robot?
Tim 21.
Yeah, you assume, you look at Tim 21, you think, you know, he's kind of a cute looking robot, you think, oh, it's going to be a very simple storyline. But, this seems to be getting not just more complicated, but, you know, significantly darker. So that's a welcome surprise. All right, our next book, Saga number 30, written by Brian K. Vaughan, art by Fiona Staples. Thank you, Marvel.
Yes. this book, we got another time skip at the end, apparently.
little bit.
And we find out Hazel isn't as special as we thought. Because her other half-breeds, just like her, hang around some prison school.
By now I need to have that song parted up every time we read this book.
Yeah, the next arc will be her in a kindergarten. But the fate of Marco's mother remains unknown. She was captured by the resistance group.
Mm-hmm.
We know Dengo died. Dengo was the robot.
Mm-hmm.
He was killed by Prince Robot the Fourth. And he inadvertently he kind of redeemed himself. He inadvertently left Hazel and her grandmother in enemy's hands, which kind of saved the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but of course, all the stuff that he was doing came back to bite him because Prince Robot killed him.
yeah, what was it? Alana and Marco wanted to kill him once they finally got their hands on him. They're like, okay, that's it. We have every reason to kill you. We want to kill you. And then they had a moment. They had like a beat.
They spared him. But then Prince Robot the Fourth just did it for
shot him. Yeah, that was amazing. That was awesome. You guys come up and...
Yeah. So, Marco and Alana, you know, they were able to reunite, but they're childless. So.
Aww, that's sad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gonna be interesting how they rescue their daughter after this lengthy quest. The Will is, revived.
Hooray! I thought they were gonna keep him dead, but after they did the sister death, they had to do it. They had to bring him back.
But he's upset because his sister died.
Yeah.
And, he's upset at Sophie and, who's the other one? The black chick?
The name's on the tip of my tongue. Like, Marco, Gwendolyn. Marco's wife. What's Gwendolyn? Yeah, there we go.
Gwendolyn.
Yeah. Gwendolyn, yeah, Gwendolyn. So, that was pretty much I think this was the last issue, right? This is, they're going on a hiatus.
Yeah. This is officially there, but I mean, we got a major character death. We had a character return. This is very clearly the breaking point. I really, really like this. I hate that. I know he always does this. I hate that I have to wait months now to get another issue of Saga.
I'm happy that
much open.
I'm happy that everybody seems to be coming back together. Cause the only real critical thing I've been,
But Hazel's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I said, from what I've read, they time skipped 2 years at the end.
Yeah. And Will's, cause she was definitely older. And, the Will basically kicked Sophie and Gwendolyn out cause he was so pissed that his sister got killed.
Mm-hmm.
He was really harsh to Sophie. I felt bad for her. All she wanted to do is bring Will back to life.
Well, it's one of those things where I'm sure he didn't think about it, but that was his first gut reaction.
And by the way, Lion Cat looked so sad.
I was just about to say that. There was a panel where they showed him walking away with them. He looked so sad.
Yeah, I know, because that's my favorite comic couple is broken up now. He sent Lion Cat away. He's gonna keep Sweet Boy, so I mean, we'll probably get Sophie and Lion Cat, Will and Sweet Boy. But they also really, really strongly indicated in the narration that Will is probably gonna kill Marco and Alana because he's so pissed off.
And
and also he has to kill the person who killed the Stalk, and I don't remember. Which of them that was?
I don't think either of them killed the Stalk.
Didn't they? Wasn't it one of them?
I thought it was one of the monsters on the planet.
I don't remember who.
Yeah, that was from way on early in the book. I think it was it like a monster or something killed her? I don't remember if it was Alana or
Marco. Hang on, I'll tell you right now.
Okay. Yeah, because that was supposed to be their gimmick, because they wouldn't kill anybody, and especially in this issue, they had that chance to kill that one robot guy, and they chose not to.
Oh, no, it's Prince Robot.
Ah, see?
But Prince Robot is traveling with Marco, although he wouldn't be anymore. He got his kid back.
And what's his name? The Will's not going to know any better. He's just going to assume maybe the Stalk probably was killed by them, so.
Yeah, and the Will promised to murder Prince Robot the Fourth because...
Yeah, he did. He's right.
He phoned him. He phoned him after she died. So he spoke to her, and when he picked up the phone, he said, oh, I promise I'm going to murder you.
I will say this, as far as me turning on the Will a little bit, kind of tool of avenges the love of a woman who really didn't, you know, have any of feelings, didn't return any of his feelings.
What do you mean? Stalk?
The stalk? Oh, yeah. Maybe I'm confusing the two characters.
Yeah, the spider chick.
Yeah. I thought the spider chick didn't care for the will.
Well, she did.
They were together, but I think they had separately broken up or something.
Yeah, the stalk was just having fun, and the will took it a lot more seriously, and he got all butthurt when they broke up.
Well, but then they...
No.
They were still kind of together. There were still feelings there.
Nah.
I still think it's creepy that he was banging a spider chick, but, you know, whatever.
it's Saga. Future. You know.
Space.
Different strokes for different folks. All right, next book. Star of Number Two, written by Brian Wood, art by, let's see, I'm going to try to pronounce this. I don't know if you guys don't have this pulled up. It's going to be hard even for me. Dan Jet Zajil? Let's just go with that and continue our review.
Another good book.
All right, next book. No, I'm kidding. our review of Starve.
No, it was, Gavin, who's, the chef in this, reality show, it's this cooking reality show that is like the most popular show in the world.
Yes.
In this dystopian future. And, Roman, the showrunner, is plotting against him.
Yeah, he's actively trying to sabotage our main character here.
Yeah. He knows that he's gonna go out and binge and drink all night.
Mm-hmm.
And, because he runs the contest however he wants. He says, okay, you guys need to be here, in approximately 15 minutes or you're, disqualified, and I don't care what condition you're in, you need to come here.
Because prior to it, he was talking to somebody, he's like, well, I got 20 hours, I'll sleep for 10 of those hours, and then, you know, the rest of them, I'll, devote to prep time.
Yeah.
But they caught him off guard because they're actively trying to sabotage him so he'll lose.
Yeah. So, the challenge put forth to them is for, the chefs to go find bluefin tuna, however they can, and come back and cook it.
Which
and
is
apparently,
like,
in the future, the bluefin tuna is practically extinct.
Yeah, it goes back to the overall narrative in the sense that it's this dystopian future, while before the future there, you know, that was a commonplace food, but the fact of the matter is, with everything becomes so scarce that it's all but illegal, you can get in the black market, and that's about it.
This is legit, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Everything they said about bluefin tuna, and this is currently true. It is overfished. They're trying to put restrictions on it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't raise them in captivity currently. You can't farm bluefin tuna.
Yeah, that's what they bring up in the story as well. That's like, well, you know, there's been attempts to try to replicate it, but the fact of the matter is, because it's the way the eggs are, you can't do it in captivity.
I watched a documentary on sushi.
Nice.
On Netflix, that's how I know this. It's the baby fish, the larvae.
Mm-hmm.
They can't survive more than like 5 days in captivity. But I did research looking this up, and they have now survived up to 15 days.
Oh.
And they need to get to 30 or something, because then they're more like baby fish, and then they can live.
Cool.
So we're making progress. And hopefully the world in Starve will not come to pass.
Yeah, this fish, if you look on Wikipedia, it's classified as endangered. It's right in the middle.
Have you ever eaten it, Bobby? You've been to Japan.
I don't think so.
It's delicious.
I don't think I've ever eaten one. They get big as shit, too.
Yeah, they're huge, but it's really fucking good.
Yeah, it says they make seed 990 pounds in weight.
Yeah.
Pretty nice. Fucking, yeah.
But he had to find bluefin too.
Which he had a contact, which earlier in the issue he had met. She was her boss apparently had some in stock, and she let him, you know, steal it pretty much. And then he was coming up with an idea of what to cook, and he got lazy. Well, not really lazy. He had a plan. Said, "Oh, you know what? I'm a service raw tartar, basically sushi." And he guilted the judge.
Roman made fun of him.
Yeah. And,
he's like, oh, this isn't a cooking competition.
Yeah. So he basically, using the rare fish, guilted the judges into eating this because, you even realizing this is all endangered, this is possibly the last one on Earth, you're getting to eat it.
He's yeah, I like the way he presented it too. He was like, so the whole point of the show is to try to convince everybody that the world hasn't gone to hell in the handbasket. He's all, we're gonna prepare this food that normal people would eat and sort of to remind everybody that the world is a terrible place now.
And he made himself incredibly valuable to the show because not only is he already more popular than Roman, but we learned in this, it's not just the rich people who watch the show, the poor people watch it too. Mm. And they were in fact in attendance in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all backing up what he says because they don't like the rich people either.
Mm-hmm.
So they ain't going to want to, he's trying to get his show back from Roman because he hates him. That's the other part of this.
Yeah,
it's not like at all.
Yeah, because it's not about the money. Because when we see at the beginning of the book when he talks to his friend who also owns this restaurant, she offers him a job. He's like, you know what? We can just go into business with each other. We're both very good chefs. We can make a boatload of money. But he's like, this is more about just getting back his show. So,
yeah, if he had his well, because it'll help him keep his daughter.
Yeah,
who his daughter?
That's a subplot going on too. His daughter's cheering him on.
His daughter is with him on this.
Yeah.
So he's at least got that benefit. No, this is, this book is really good.
Yeah.
I didn't, you know, this was, I remember when we first, I didn't think much of this when I first heard about it.
Yeah, neither did I. I was like, what is this book? I don't care.
This is a sleeper hit book.
Yeah, I know. It's fantastic. We're two issues in and already it's like, if I had to put a chart of like the top 10 books I'm most looking forward to every single week consistently, Starve has got to be on there.
Yeah, and he sounds like he has an understanding of chefs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I watch a lot of cooking shows.
Mm-hmm.
And he's basically pulling out, like, cliches that they always say.
that was funny. I like that.
Yeah, he's having his character basically just shit on them.
Mm-hmm.
For, you know, being BS or they're pretentious or this or that. This book is just good.
That's the fatal flaw of all these, you know, chef shows. It's like they'll get all these great chefs, they'll come on the show, they'll get a big ego, but then the fact of the matter is they think so highly of themselves that they start to lose some of their game. So once they get off the show, they start losing their edge and they're not as good. And that's part of the reason why he thought about taking that girl's offer. He's like, you know, the fact of the matter is I don't like this whole show, this whole showboating stuff. It's like, if anything, it takes my edge off, but he clearly has something else in mind, so that's why he continues going back on the show.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's wrap up this week's books with you guys talking Walking Dead 144, writer Robert Kirkman, art by Charlie Adlard.
I already got in an argument about this book on the board.
Yeah, I saw you guys talking about this. Apparently something big went down this week's issue.
No, it didn't.
No, okay.
Well, they killed some people.
They killed some people, and they had Andrea there, they had Rick there, they had Carl there, they had Michonne there, and they killed fucking Ezekiel. And
they killed Ezekiel and Rosita and Olivia. Those were like the three I knew.
Yeah, they're not real main characters. They're not. If they would have killed Andrea, if they would have killed any of the people I mentioned, it would have been a big deal. But, I mean, basically what he did was killing Rosita, it eliminates part of a side story for another side character.
And she was also pregnant, so.
Yeah, so that's a change, yes. I'm not saying it's not a change. Ezekiel dying means absolutely nothing to this book. Because all we knew about Ezekiel currently was he lives somewhere else, they fish, we don't get to see his king, and he's having, you know, he broke up with Michonne, who doesn't want to be with him anymore.
And he was going to meet Michonne because he wanted to get back with her.
And that's not going to happen. But he wasn't a character until like three issues ago again. He had completely disappeared. So he's giving the appearance of big change, but it's not really there because the plots that we were already following, the main plots, they still continue. The only one that changed was the bad guys who we already knew were bad and kind of crazy. Are bad and kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Except Alpha may have some feelings.
Although, she banned her daughter from the group.
But she was crying when she did it.
Yeah. She exiled.
All about not feeling, but she exiled her because, you know, she basically said, I don't want to be gang raped by all the men who you let do it to me.
Yeah.
And she obviously did in fact feel bad, but despite talking, you know, we're animals. Well, you know, here's another thing with animals. How many animals have sex for pleasure? Their entire worldview is bullshit because she's presenting themselves as, you know, oh, we're just animals and civilization is crap and Rick, you're living a lie and this is the way things are meant to be, but they're still living like people. They're just living like bad people. Which, you know, is what they're doing because she's the villain and that's what you do. You portray the villain in a bad way and you show them as being hypocrites. So that's fine, but still it was just like, eh.
Makes you wonder, there's probably some spies or hidden people in Alexandria now from the inside.
Damn, maybe, but what are they going to, but what happens when you, okay, she's their leader. So she apparently would be the strongest in these beliefs, right? Since she's leading them.
Yeah.
Even she kind of broke and let her daughter go. If these other people who every day are living outside having to wear, you know, kill zombies and cut off their skin and wear it and then are hanging out with decaying zombie walking corpses every day and then live with people who have trade, they have public meals, they get together, they work, they all have a focus, they're improving, they're seeing society grow. Who the fuck is gonna pick and go back and go, oh no, you know what, this really sucks, I wanna wear zombie skin and live outside? Nobody would do that. These people weren't raised like that. They grew up in the world when it was still normal.
She might have sent her most crazy people over.
Oh, she picked...
Yeah.
She picked out specific people who are just balls crazy.
Yeah, because, I mean, people like Olivia and Rosita and stuff like that, they were killed at Alexandria because that's where they were. And they had to drag the body with their heads all the way to that border, which Alpha claimed, oh, this is our border between our two lands. It was basically a bunch of impaled heads. So somebody had to have gone there, killed them, brought them back, and it was one of her people, and it had to have been one of her biggest crazies.
You know what they should have done? They should have had the heads, like, talking and stuff, like doing the zombie stuff. Well, because if you cut off somebody's head, they'd still turn into a zombie, right? Because you didn't destroy the brain.
But they were going through the brain.
Oh, no, they had a spike through them.
Oh, yeah, damn. Yeah.
They should have shoved it through the mouth. That would have been more effective.
Frick should, I wonder if Rick is gonna team up with Negan now to fight.
Yeah, he's gonna get Negan now, cause now he's like, okay, they're in my shit. They're fucking stuff up. I can't have this. Negan, you're a crazy bastard who likes killing people. You wanna help? Maybe. I mean, yeah, that was the important part of the story, was that they got into their town and fucked shit up. But deaths? I wasn't really interested in any of those. Maybe somebody else was really interested in the, Rosita is pregnant or Ezekiel loves Michonne side plot. I didn't care. A lot of time hadn't been given to it, but if you were really focused on those, I'm sorry for saying it didn't matter, but it didn't fucking matter to the plot. Sorry. Need for Vaughn to come on this book.
Yeah, as am I. Like I said,
he's great.
Yeah,
are you gonna read when he comes on?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to tell to our new listeners. I never read Walking Dead, so that's why I was particularly silent on that book. But when Vaughn comes over, I'm definitely gonna give that a try. And I'm eagerly. Go ahead.
I said, I wonder what he's gonna do. I hope he writes new characters.
I would hope so too.
I'm tired of Rick.
Well, they had a lot of new characters introduced in the last couple months. Remember all those new people that came in? You can write those people.
I want to get away from Rick. I want to get away from this area of the world. I want to see what's going on somewhere with else. A different group of survivors in another fucking country.
Yeah.
I want to see something different.
And I think that's what we're going to get from Vaughn, so.
Or he's going to write stories about, you know, like Marvel said, the five people who showed up a couple issues ago.
Maybe. But either way, it's like, it's one of those things with Walking Dead. Like, I read the first, you know, novel and I wasn't particularly, blown away, but at the same time, it's like, even if I had, it's like, it's so intimidating that, especially that number 144, it's like, I don't know if I would have caught up. But with Vaughn picking up the book now, at least for an arc, you know, that may be, you know, parlay me into reading the book from here on in.
I have high hopes.
As do I. All right, let's move on to our next segment, our picks for Book of the Week.
The greatest feeling of all time I had all my life.
Okay, gentlemen, your picks for Book of the Week. I get the feeling Civil me and Marv War. Are going to agree. Yeah, I'm going to go with me and Marv are going to pick Civil War. That book was amazing. Like that.
Although Starve number 2 was really good too.
Yeah, it continues to be a really good book. Go ahead.
I'm going with Starve.
I can't complain with that pick.
Can't complain with that either. That's a really good book. I love that book as well. But like I said, Civil War just blew me away, and that kind of tainted me when I was reading the other books. I was like, well, yeah, this is good. It's not Civil War.
You know
good,
why? But... You know why I might have not been as impressed with it?
Why? Because we built it up. Maybe
you put it over so. No, well, that was a part of it. You built it up so strongly that I read it last.
Ah, okay. See, that's what I'll do.
And I read a lot of books I like.
Yeah, I tend to read, especially the Marvel stuff, ahead of you guys. So the fact that I read Civil War and I put it over so big. Marvel still liked it a lot, and he agrees with me as far as it's Book of the Week material. But...
No.
I'm sorry if that sort of jaded you on that.
Yeah, I just didn't like it as much as you guys. Hmm. I liked it.
And you still liked it, but... Honestly, you're untouchable as far as, you know what, Starve's a really good book. I can't rip you on that. That's, you know, it's a really good book as well. But to me, if I had to put both books back to back, I really liked Civil War a lot more.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk our final segment, next week's books. Wherever you go, whatever you do, I will be right here waiting for you. Whatever it takes, or how my heart breaks, I will be right here waiting for you. Okay, can I already tell from looking at next week's books, I'm going to be doing a lightning round review of Justice League number 42.
I am doing lightning round of Crossed plus 100 number 6, which I just read, and they seem to indicate it's only the last issue in the first storyline.
Oh, by the way, there's a new number 1 by Kieran Gillen.
Yeah, I was going to ask, are we going to read that?
I think I might read it. It sounds interesting.
I'm down.
It's called Mercury Heat.
Yes, space epic.
I don't like the art on the cover of the person. I like the spaceship.
Click to see if it's the same artist that writes that's drawing the rest of the book. I'm still going to read because, it's, you know, Gillen and I, so far I've turned kind of the...
Corner, yes, I know.
Yeah.
Come on, let's hurry up.
Well, you got somewhere to be? You got some New Japan to watch, Marvel? What?
No, I'm just late.
You can sign off.
I'm looking. Calm down.
Pick what you want to read, Marvel, and then you can sign off.
No, I'm just looking.
Well, then don't complain how we're running late.
Astro City?
Hooray! Love that book. All time, all my life.
Remember we only read Marvel books? That was fun. MT number 5 is actually coming out.
What?
MT number 5 is actually coming out.
The MTA.
Well, it just, comic just says MT.
I know, but we've had discussion with Marvel. It's the MT.
I know, it's fine. It's fine. Okay. Ant-Man Annual number 1. We're gonna read that one, or is that the one we're reading? I think it is.
Yeah,
yes, that Spencer. Is a actual news story by Spencer.
Awesome.
Armor Wars number 3, are we reading
that?
No, I gave up after issue 1.
Yeah, we both me and Marvel gave up on that book, and I think you just joined.
It's got an awesome cover, just saying. Captain Britain and the Mighty Defenders.
1 of 2. Oh, there's only 2 issues?
There's only 2, and Al Ewing is writing it, Alan Davis is drawing it.
I'll read it.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it's 2 issues. Who cares?
I think I'm gonna lightning round review Captain Marvel and the Carol Corps. I remember liking that book.
Okay, Guardians of Nowhere. K-N-O-W.
I know.
Hail Hydra, number 1.
I don't know about that one. Let's see.
Who's that by?
Read this. Rick Remender.
Your boyfriend. You can't not read
know.
That.
I'm reading the thing. I don't know if I even want to read this.
What? Marvel doesn't want to read a Rick Remender book from Marvel? I'm floored.
One of his final books at Marvel? Well, whatever. I'm not reading it. Fuck him. Inhumans, Attilan Rising, number 3.
Inhuman, Attilan Rising. Okay.
Korvac Saga, number 2.
Korvac Saga, continue.
Moon Knight, number 17.
Aw, I'm saddened to hear that's probably going away.
I bet that'll pick up. Well, they're announcing more books. So.
Hopefully they pick up Moon Knight. I love me some Moon Knight.
Planet Hulk, number 3.
Ooh, I like Planet Hulk.
Secret Wars, Battle World.
Number 3.
Battle. Okay, keep them coming, keep them coming.
Siege, number 1.
The hell's
because Siege was another bad Bendis crossover. But it's getting a Battle World book, so we're reading it. Kieran Gillen's doing it.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
And we like him now, so. Silver Surfer 13. This is the only last day title to take place after Battle World is formed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a last days title, but it's taking place not in Battle World, but outside World.
Outside, okay.
So, yeah. Where Monsters Dwell, number 3.
Hooray! That may be Book of the Week right there.
There's a very good chance it is. And we go down to Valiant, and we see...
A new book!
Book of Death, number 1.
Who's it written by?
Robert Vendetti.
Do we want to give it a try?
I don't know which one he is. Well, it's the next big crossover, and we read all the Valiant books.
That's true.
Two.
Okay, we'll read it. Book of Death.
It's got Exo Manowar, Bloodshot, Ninjak, Harbinger Guys, the Unity team.
Cool.
This is how they lived. This is how they died.
No.
And it focuses on something to do with the Geomancer and the Geomancer's history.
Are we going
to
continue to read Dead Drop?
Yeah, it's 3 of 4. Might as well finish it off.
That's the last one.
Remember, we're not exactly enamored by that book.
Which I did not read. I never read it.
Good for you. You made the right decision. Oh. Alright, so that leaves us with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. All things considered, a light week for comic conversations.
Yeah, it'd be less than that for me, because I'm not reading some of this stuff, so.
That's fine, and then with-
I'm not reading some stuff.
Yeah, I think I'm, in addition, I'm reading Justice League and Captain Marvel, so. Still, all things considered, when you compare this to this week, and I think weeks past, light week. A well-deserved light week for us, if you ask me. Alright, unless you guys have anything else to do, we can wrap this baby up. Alright, so from all of us, at halfguarded.com. Thanks for checking out the show, and as always, see you guys next week. Adios.